much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you running out of options in your fight against foo? At Grohl, Hawkins, Mendel, Shiflett, Smear & Associates, we've been fighting foo for over 25 years.
We'll fight foo day and night to make sure you receive the compensation that you deserve.
Don't try and fight foo by yourself. Call our toll-free number today.
Just listen to this satisfied customer.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Again, these are the facts. We do not have an outbreak of Ebola in the United States, nowhere. There is no information to suggest that the virus has spread to anyone in the general population in America. Not one person in the general population in the United States. There is no Ebola spreading in America.
Shotgun your life!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
But I want to do horror stuff for my friend.
Roll another one.
High heels and mini skirts.
Just like the other one.
He's a god. He's a comedy god.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Sometimes I wonder if he is learning to sing.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Get excited, folks. Roll another one.
I think poo-poo on that stuff.
Just like the other one.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
This one seems to be out.
What was the question?
Does not matter.
I don't have another sense.
Hey, Carl, turn up the car radio.
Why not? Anything goes today.
Who is this person?
Just pass it around.
They never fail to disappoint.
So, another Friday is upon us.
And now,
I'm the Bob Marley of Armenian. Come on.
Our feature presentation.
He is. That's a tough argument right there. He is the Bob Marley of Armenian. But unfortunately, the still alive one. Yeah, that is a shame. Morning, everybody. It's brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 17th of October.
Oh, my God. It's raining.
Just kidding. So excited. I thought we had him. I thought that was it.
I knew Bean was all excited, so I played the wrong one on purpose. My bad.
He won't screw up. He just won't.
We can fire him on the spot, right?
Why won't he let us live?
I don't know. It's a great question. All right. So what are we doing? Are we making funny ha-ha out of our face holes again? Is that the plan today?
I mean, that's always the plan.
Okay. Here's a story that I could have saved for What's Up with Florida, but it may involve a little more discussion, so I think we'll address it here. I've never seen anything like this before. This is a couple who lives in Missouri. They apparently are quite wealthy. They own a lot of rental properties, and they had bought a lot in Florida in a place called Hamhock Dunes. And they went to a building company and they said, hey, we'd like to develop a home on that property that we can use as a rental. And develop it they did. They paid $160,000 for the lot, by the way. And then they built a $550,000 house on it.
All right.
It's right there on the ocean. It's got 5 bedrooms, 5.5 bathrooms. It has a home theater, a game room. It has a pool. I mean, this is a sweet deal. They own 18 properties in that part of Florida that they use as rentals. They never visited the lot, and they found out 6 months after it was done that it was built on the wrong piece of property.
What? Every day? For how long did it take?
How long would construction like that take? Usually, I would think at least 6 months it would take to build something like that.
I would think 6 months to a year.
And they didn't have their brother-in-law drive down there with a van and built it. I mean, they used a huge company called Keystone Homes that has built over 600 homes in Florida, high-end work. And they used all the appropriate surveyors. They, filed all the correct paperwork. I mean, everything was by the book, except they were building it on the lot next door to the lot that the family owned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
How's that for bad surprise?
I know that feeling that of the first person that realized it when that they made a mistake and he just went, oh. Because it's such a bigger problem. You can't really solve that.
Yeah, you can't just pick it up and, oh, let's just move it 600 feet, right?
Unbelievable.
So it's unclear as to what is going to happen next. The couple that paid for and built the home has, of course, they have an attorney. This article does not have any response from the actual people who own the lot that it was built on. Their lot is 21 Ocean Ridge Boulevard. And the other people's lot is 23 Ocean Ridge Boulevard, and they're next door to each other, and it's 10 wow. undeveloped lots in a row. And I guess you could sort of see, if you weren't using survey equipment, how something like this could happen, because it's undeveloped land along a beach, and it all looks the same.
Yeah.
It's not like they were looking for a specific thing, like at the end of this street or something right. like that. I mean, they just picked the wrong one and started building, and no one noticed it.
If the owner of the property that they built the house on wanted to, he could literally use the house and pay nothing, right?
I guess so, Kevin. I mean, it's on his property.
Yeah.
He should move into it.
He should just move right in. Thank you very much. I'll move right in now.
That person doesn't live in the area either. They also live out of state, but he certainly could.
Can you imagine, though, having a home built that you never once went to see?
Well, no, but it
that's a different kind of rich.
Nuts.
Yeah, it sounds like they have so many homes that they can't keep up with them.
Maybe.
For rental properties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're dealing with an established builder that you trust, and who knows, maybe they've even used them before, I don't know. But, I mean, you have 18 other properties that are developed that you're using as a rental, and you live out of state. I can understand. You've got a man on the scene who's handling your business for you.
I guess, but in 6 months or 8 months or however long it took, you would think maybe they would just stop by.
That just seems like good sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the easy, obvious thing, if these lots are so similar and next door to each other.
And have the same view.
Yeah, and have the same view, exactly,
yeah.
Is maybe they work out a swap.
Yeah.
It's funny because the
swap plus 50 grand.
I was wondering about that because the people who own the other lot, the undeveloped lot, I mean, they would look at this as an opportunity. They really have that other family over a barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of, like Lisa said, getting money for nothing. I mean, they've got an undeveloped lot down there that looks exactly like the one they've had before, and now it may be worth a lot more money to them. So, anyway.
You may say, look, I've got a house on my lot, so my lot is worth a lot more than yours.
Exactly. So, anyway, crazy story, and it won't surprise anyone again that it came out of Florida.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I've had it! I've had it with sucking!
There's no having it with sucking. It's just get used to it. We have a huge show today. We have Shaun White in studio. Very excited about that.
Yeah.
Make an announcement about a festival that he is behind. We have Jorge Gutierrez talking about the Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that terrible, awful, convoluted conversation that we had with Dave yesterday where he was trying to explain something about mariachi tweets?
Yes. King of Mexico, yes.
Did you see those things unveil themselves online last night?
No, I did not.
They're awesome.
What? You were yelling at him.
Because it's the worst idea ever.
Right, you were yelling that.
You tweet something. They did this for 4 hours last night. You tweet whatever you want to the Book of Life, and then they have a mariachi band standing by that's actually recording your tweets and then putting them up online.
That.
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
I mean, come on.
It's an excellent question, by
you
the way.
You yelled at me.
It's an awesome use of mariachis.
And then I said, what's the downside? Let's do it. And then you yelled at me. You were like, I can't wait to hear Kevin try and explain this to Jorge.
In my defense, the way Dave explained it was almost indecipherable. I had no idea what the F he was trying to tell us.
Nope, you're just bad.
I'm with Dave. You're just bad.
It's almost Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. It's almost Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. It's almost Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
We could have had mariachi tweets, but Dave screwed up.
Unbelievable. You were such a dick.
Just say it. It's awesome. We should have been a part of it. Way to go, Dave. Nice job, Sanchez.
RJ Bell in Las Vegas has been amazing this season at picking football games.
Yeah.
Talking week 7 today. Last week he picked San Diego. No, who did he pick? He picked San Diego plus 7. Oakland plus 7, right. And we mocked him. I did, specifically. And that was correct.
Yeah, I think San Diego only won by 3, right?
That was a good one. Robert Kirkman, the creator of The Walking Dead, will be here.
Yes.
Got the movie beat, and we've got just a little fellow by the name of Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
Talking Foo Fighters. So that's all coming up this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
Too much show for lollygagging. Come on, let's get to it. Let's get moving. Get moving. Go on, Ralph, go.
Take it easy.
All right, today's celebrity birthday is Michael McKean, 67 years old today.
Actually, we had a little more
George
time
Wendt turned 66. No, Mike Judge, creator of Beavis and Butthead.
You don't have to go that fast.
52 years old today. Norm MacDonald's 51. Ziggy Marley celebrates his 46th birthday. Wyclef Jean is 45. Chris Kirkpatrick of the legendary boy band NSYNC turns 43 years old today. Eminem is a spry 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
or you could do a few stories, too.
Oh, well, I didn't understand. You were just, you seem so in a rush.
Oh, he's in a rush.
Shia LaBeouf takes a method acting to an entirely new level.
Now, is this, I haven't even heard the story yet, but is this method acting or is this Shia LaBeouf is crazy?
It's Shia LaBeouf is crazy.
Okay.
He was on Jimmy Kimmel Live talking about his new movie, Fury, where he plays a soldier in World War II, fighting the Nazis in a tank. And his character in the script apparently was missing a tooth. So he went to a dentist that he found next to a Radio Shack in Reseda that wouldn't ask too many questions and had the tooth removed.
A perfectly good tooth.
Yep. Then he cut his cheek open to have a real scar for a World War II drama that hits theaters today.
Does he? Is
Dude,
he,
that was f***ing badass.
Is he aware that they can do all of that with special effects? Probably better?
In the words of Laurence Olivier,
yeah.
Try acting, dear boy. It's so much easier. Speaking of acting, ooh-ah, Al Pacino.
I got to tell you, Ralph, that movie was on over the weekend, Scent of a Woman.
Oh, Scent of a Woman. I'll take a flamethrower to this place.
It is. I've never seen him more over the top in his acting than that movie. And I always thought that you were doing like an amalgamation of a bunch of different movies when you do that. It's just Scent of a Woman. And
no, it's not just Scent of a Woman. This is where actually the kickoff point for him was playing the over-the-top cartoon villain Big Boy in the movie Dick Tracy that he did with Warren Beatty. That was when he first lost his mind.
All right.
And then apparently he enjoyed it so much, he started doing it in every movie he made after that. I mean, The Devil's Advocate. I mean, you can just go down the list if you want to see just craziness. But it is quintessential Crazy Al in Scent of a Woman, for sure.
Yeah. Hoo-ah!
You're all rats on a sinking ship. If I was half the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place. Pacino will be back on Broadway in the fall of 2015. He is going to be starring in the world premiere of a new David Mamet play called China Doll. Mamet says he wrote the play specifically for Pacino.
Wow.
And it's about a billionaire with a much younger fiance who's about to retire, but takes one last phone call before closing up his office.
Never do that.
Never do that.
Right, never.
You hear that phone ringing, just get out and close
ring.
The door.
So is his character having trouble getting out of the business? Is that what's happening here?
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Yay!
Ooh-ah.
Hope he does that a lot.
Pacino, of course, played Ricky Roma in the movie version of Mamet's legendary Glengarry Glen Ross, and also did the Broadway revival as Shelley Levine in 2012, which I had a chance to see, by the way, on Broadway, and it was just freaking unbelievable. He's still Pacino. So two for the money, but
does he do that that over-the-top thing when he's doing Broadway? Or
no. When he was playing Shelley Levine, if you know the role at all, Jack Lemmon played in the movie, but he's sort of a He's the oldest probably guy in the office. He's beaten down. He can't get good leads. He's just a guy who's just dying inside. This business is just killing him, the sales work. And he's a very small, sort of beaten man. And Pacino was very, very controlled on stage.
Kind of like you working at K-Rock, Ralph.
That's Shelley Levine, the character?
Yeah.
That was his soul was being crushed?
Yeah,
yeah, very much like
just
that.
Hating every minute of it, but having to do it to just, you know, pay the bills.
Just a hopeless baton death march towards the cliff of eternity, pretty much.
Just looking around just despising everybody you work with.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly like that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here we are at the 17th of Rocktober. See, I thought he had the movie beat up, so I figured maybe we wouldn't have the Rocktober ready.
Yeah, they're on different machines, though, Bean, so he could have both. But here's my question. If he can do that now and be solid for this long, right, why didn't he do that before?
Great question.
He is capable.
All of his powers of concentration.
Well, he's got notes everywhere.
And he just goes home and collapses and does nothing for the rest of the day.
I don't know, but I'm just saying.
He can do one thing well. We know that.
For a week, he's been spotless on that.
Yeah.
So what happened every other day that he's worked in here?
Because it's more than one thing that he needs to focus on. If his job was to screw, he was on a conveyor belt and he had to screw a screw into a hole on a toy for the rest of his life.
He'd be 50-50.
He could do that. No, he could do that.
All right.
He can focus on one task forever. All That's right. what he can do. Give him two thoughts in that tiny, tiny little peanut brain, and it just all falls apart.
Well, we may not get to fire Beer Mug today because he seems like he's pretty on point. But it is Friday, and that means it is time for Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, Nicholas Sparks is back, you know.
Yes!
You know, that bastard who unleashes his unique brand of evil on us all with these sappy, horribly sentimental, treacly romantic books that he keeps pumping out to wild success that are instantly made into movies. It's just all crap. It's just a bunch of crap, people.
Is that just that the last song, that Miley Cyrus movie?
Oh.
He had that, the lucky one. Remember?
What was the one where Zac Efron played ball with his dead brother?
Oh, and, yeah.
And yep. One Nicholas Kevin Costner found notes in bottles.
Message in a bottle.
No, F. So much F.
Is this just a? He's not for guys.
No, he's awful.
He's
awful. Anyone,
not for me.
Ask anyone who likes well-written fiction.
Okay.
It's just crap.
Yeah.
Even his style is crap. His content is crap. It's just romantic crap for lonely women who sit at home wanting to be rescued by James Marsden.
All right.
And that's what this movie's about. James Marsden comes back to his hometown after he left, reuniting with his high school sweetheart. She was the rich girl. He was the bad boy from the bad side. Oh, F so much F. Here, James Marsden and Michelle Monaghan are all grown up, and now they're reuniting in their hometown after so much time has passed. But is the love still there?
I miss this. I miss you getting all mad at me.
I'm not mad.
Being a little pushy.
I'm not pushy.
You just care so much, Amanda.
I should go.
What?
This is dangerous. We've had wine, and somehow you have gotten better looking, which is so annoying. Couldn't you have gotten bald or fat or something? Jeez.
Will they rekindle the love at any cost?
Yes.
F.
Sure they will.
This.
So that's your pick for the week?
Nope.
Oh.
This film looks fascinating to me. In limited release, it's a film called Rudderless, starring Billy Crudup.
I love him.
Anton Yelchin, Felicity Huffman, and Selena Gomez. It's about a grieving father who goes into a downward spiral until he stumbles across a box of his recently deceased son's demo tapes and lyrics. He forms a band to record this music in the hope of finding some catharsis. Sounds like a devastating and at the same time sort of hopeful and uplifting film directed by William H. Macy.
Ooh, now I'm in.
You weren't in before because you hate children?
Know,
There's too many other good movies coming out this weekend.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Rudderless.
My son's name was Josh Manning.
If you want to act like Josh never existed, great. But make no mistake, you are hiding.
I saved this for you. Music was always you guys' thing.
That song was awesome. There have to be others. Someone ought to play them. We could play them.
My son wrote all the songs.
Your boy wrote all that music. Well, what were you thinking? Darkness,
don't
give
way to light. You don't need those songs. You don't need me. Keep going.
Good stuff.
Okay, good cast.
Listen,
good director.
Listen up, Philip.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
I'm talking to Philip. Listen up.
Who's Philip?
I'm sorry. It's the name of a movie in limited release today. Jason Schwartzman stars.
Oh.
How do we not know about this? Jason's a friend of our show. Why wasn't he on to talk about this movie?
That's a good question.
I'm angry at him. Elizabeth Moss also stars. Jonathan Pryce, Kristen Ritter. Philip is an author, played by Jason Schwartzman, who's waiting the publication of his second novel. He's got all kinds of issues with all kinds of people in his life. Until he finally gets the peace and quiet to focus on his favorite subject himself when he goes to an isolated summer home. Here is Jason Schwartzman as Philip talking to his girlfriend who gets a job that changes their plans.
Okay, could you stop doing that? It's really annoying.
I planned on going away for a week.
You know this is important to me.
I know, but it wasn't supposed to start for 10 days.
They changed it. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not being really supportive right now. You know this is an amazing opportunity for me.
Tell me the good version of this conversation.
You got the job? Congratulations, Ashley. I'm so happy for you. Although I admit to being a little disappointed, I understand that these things happen. I'm so proud of you, baby.
That's basically what I said.
That's not what he said at all. The Book of Life opens up this weekend. This looks awesome. It is an animated spectacular with all kinds of pop music in it and amazing visuals that are largely based in Latino culture. It's about the Book of the Dead. Or the Day of the Dead, rather, and the Book of Life. Diego Luna stars Zoe Saldana, Channing Tatum, Ron Perlman, a great cast.
Is this animation for adults?
Or
is it for kids, too?
Both. It's for the whole family.
All right.
Manolo is a young man who's torn between fulfilling his family's expectations and following his heart, and he embarks on an adventure that spans several different worlds where he's got to face his greatest fears. It looks wildly entertaining. Here is Manolo arriving in the afterlife of the land of the remembered.
I made it.
And on the Day of the Dead, no less.
Where?
Let's start with your name.
My name is Manolo Sanchez.
Another Sanchez? Man, that family just keeps growing.
My family? They'll help me find Maria. Can you take me to them?
I would love nothing more than to reunite a young couple. You know, I've been down here for years awaiting my beloved honey bunny.
Hi, honey!
Ah, too soon!
This looks great. Great cast. Great animation. Birdman. Michael Keaton in limited release opens up this weekend. Keaton plays an actor who once played an iconic superhero and now has to try to overcome his ego and mount a comeback. Kind of fascinating when you layer in Michael Keaton, who played Batman, of course, famously, then sort of disappeared, is now making a comeback with this film. So it's got a lot of layers going on. Zach Galifianakis stars Edward Norton also in this film. By all accounts, this movie is just an amazing film. You know, they shot it largely in 10-minute takes with one camera.
Really? Why?
Because they think it adds sort of a veracity and a sense of being living in the moment for this film that you couldn't get if you were shooting little chunks and then editing different camera angles back and forth. Huh. So the actors had to get it letter perfect physically and with the dialogue for a 10-minute take each time they shot this.
I saw Zach Galifianakis on The Daily Show this week. He was talking about that. You don't want to be the guy in the last minute who has one line and
right.
screw it up.
Here is a scene where Keaton, as the actor who used to play Birdman, is being interviewed by the foreign press.
Now, is it true you've been injecting yourself with semen from baby pigs?
I'm sorry.
As a method of facial rejuvenation?
Where did you read that?
It was tweeted.
No, that's not true.
I know, but did you do it?
No, I didn't do it. I just said it's not true.
You're denying it.
No, don't write anything. Why would you write anything? I didn't.
Are you at all afraid that people will say you're doing this play to battle the impression that you're a washed-up super?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's why 20 years ago I said no to Birdman 4.
Hold the mask off!
Thank you, everybody. Batman 4! You do Batman 4!
Fury, lastly, is also opening up this weekend. The story of hard men. Living inside a tank.
Tough, you mean?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
They're battle-hardened.
Oh, I see.
Having been in the army fighting the Nazis in 1945, they're almost done with their tour, and they have one last mission behind enemy lines, and things do not go well. Don't go on that last mission. I think if I was in wartime, I would not go on that last
mission.
You'd
opt out?
That's when it seems like things go badly. I would go, like, what's the next to the last mission? Let me guess. That'll be my last
mission. I'll lead
mission.
That one.
You guys go on the last one. I'm going to do the penultimate mission. That'll
you
be
will
mine.
Give them 95%. That's what you'll get.
That's right, yeah. They have to hold off a giant swarm of Nazis in their Sherman tank, and there's overwhelming odds, and it's just the best of the greatest generation. Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf, Logan Lerman, Michael Pena, all star in Fury. Here's some clips.
These troops get by you. We're all dead in the water. All we got is you. The deals are peaceful. History is violent.
It will end soon. But before it does, a lot more people gotta die.
Well, you know, we do get $1.35 a day, right?
They're coming.
How many?
300 of them. There's five against 300.
We never run before. Why are we gonna run now?
We're still in this fight.
Captain, I would say we run now because there are five of us and 300 Nazis, sir. I know we haven't run before, but I think now would be a good time to start running.
That answer has already been covered.
I'm just raising a point, sir. Hope you don't mind. Salute. Go Yankees. Those are your picks for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Hey! Not bad.
Like it.
Morning, hey, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show, 6:43.
Dave Grohl, 8:15 this morning here on the Kevin DeBean Show, talking about, so much going on in the world of the Foo Fighters. Robert Kirkman next hour talks Walking Dead. Episode 2 of Season 5 airs this weekend. RJ Bell talks Week 7 of the NFL. And Sean White joins us at 9. This is, frankly, too much show, Kevin, if you don't mind
me
saying so. First, though, there's a new controversy over something on television. You know, the American Horror Story is back, better than ever. And there's a clown named Twisty on the show who is just creating a whole set of new nightmares for America's population. Twisty is rough, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a rough character. But what's funny is he looks rough. Like he's obviously not a normal clown.
Yeah.
He's a freak.
Yeah, he is not. He's not suitable for children's parties. That's for sure. Let's hear a little taste of Twisty, please, from American Horror Story.
This is the girl who he has kept in a cage in his trailer, trying to talk her way out.
Oh, clown, you're so talented. Please release us so we can tell the world. Please.
And he's laughing the whole time, and then he starts destroying stuff.
Aww. So in addition to the millions of Americans who are now traumatized by that clown, the Clowns of America International, which has got to be the most confusing name I've ever heard for an organization.
The Clowns of America International.
International, right. It's the nation's largest clown club, Kevin.
Sure.
And they did an interview this week with the Hollywood Reporter that said they have had enough of it. It is already hard enough to be a clown without TV shows like this coming along and making people be even more afraid of clowns than they already are, and they don't want it anymore. They've had enough of it. We do not support in any way, shape, or form any medium that sensationalizes or adds to coulrophobia or clown fear. Clowns to killers. I choose not to play into any of it. The more attention we give it, it just gives it more fuel. So they are tired of it. The man who said those words is on the phone with us right now. He is Glenn Kohlberger. He is the president of the Clowns of America International. Hey there, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
So, Glenn, you are also a clown in addition to running this organization, right?
Yes, of course I am. That's why I'm in the Clowns of America International, don't you know?
What's your clown name, if you don't mind me asking?
I go by the name of Clydescope.
Clydescope. I see.
Clydescope.
I got you. Okay, that's very funny. And
Clydescope.
Clydescope, yes.
Clydescope.
Right. Got that.
Clydescope.
Right, yes.
Clydescope.
Right, and you are a fun...
crazy, silly name.
It sure is.
So you're a fun, happy clown, or yes. You're the type of clown like Twisty on the TV show that will one day break into my home and kill me?
No, I've never kept a young girl in a cage.
You haven't, okay.
And I've never killed anybody with scissors.
Okay.
With scissors. Not killed, anyway.
Wait, what do you mean by that? That sounds like...
There was one time an accident I was running with them, but it doesn't matter. It wasn't intentional.
Okay, I understand. Okay.
Clown on this show killed people with scissors.
But, right. But you understand that this is just fiction, and everybody that watches it pretty much knows that.
But still, people are going to say, oh, that clown is terrifying. Oh, clowns scare me. Oh, I don't like clowns. It's hard enough to be a clown, first of all, and now with all this stuff, giving us a bad reputation. We just don't need it. It's not fun. That's fun.
We talked to our listeners last week around the premiere of This American Horror Story. We found out it seemed like the vast majority of them are either have a very negative view of clowns or are actually afraid of them.
See, that's what I'm saying. And we're just here to make you happy, to entertain you. Look, hey, look, I'm going to make you a balloon animal right now, okay?
Oh, that's very nice
of you.
All
right, hold
on.
Here we go.
So what's he making?
Can't imagine. Intense.
Glenn?
Clyde?
It's a worm.
A worm?
Why did it take so long to make a worm?
I'm not good with balloons.
And traffic is slow coming away. Excuse me.
Got a little something there in your throat.
Yeah.
Traffic. I still do.
Got a little something there.
Traffic is slow from Vineyard.
Yeah. Ooh,
nice. On the 10 westbound right at Azusa.
Wow,
earlier, Sigler, but that's gone now, so yay. South 405 at Sherman Way, stalled bus in the middle of traffic, and reports of some rocks in the roadway. Topanga Canyon right around Mulholland.
Yeah. Use it.
I'd use some caution there if I were you.
Yep.
Work it.
Kubo Tire celebrates the launch of the new Solus TA31 with a rebate program on selected tires. Right now, get up to $100 back when you buy a set of four. Go to KumoTireUSA.com. Kumo Tire, the official tire of the NBA.
Well done.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa.
I need more traffic. I'm not finished yet.
I don't know what's happening, but I like that very much. Hey, we'll talk to RJ Bell out there in Las Vegas from pregame.com about the Week 7 NFL. How long has it been since the Eagles had this strong a start, Ralph Lerman?
The last time they played this well and had a record this good was 2007, okay. Which was the year they went to the Super Bowl.
All right. Good times for Eagles fans,
good,
man.
Fantastic. Good, it is a good omen.
All right, very excited. Got that. Then our friend Robert Kirkman from The Walking Dead next hour as well. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Friday.
Chris, that being said, they are in a bye week this week, so they won't be playing.
Huh.
So they got a week off to heal up.
Rehab a bit, yeah.
Then they have to play every amazing powerhouse team in the NFL.
Oh, is it a bad schedule that way? Like
the rest of the season is just nuts. Still have two games with Dallas coming up, a game with the Cardinals, a game with the Seattle Seahawks. It's just murderer's row coming up. It's just a nightmare. Sammy Hagar has a name you haven't heard in a while, I bet.
Yeah, no kidding. What's up?
He has just become one of only 499 people who will get to own a Ferrari LaFerrari. The new car from Ferrari, the LaFerrari, will be available handmade for just 499 people.
Is that the final name of it?
The LaFerrari? Yes.
It's not just a placeholder?
Ferrari LaFerrari.
It's difficult.
Couldn't they come up with that?
So, I mean, you're not
yeah,
trying.
Try. At least try.
Hey, what are we going to call this new Ferrari? I don't know, LaFerrari. I know it's a LaFerrari, but what's it called? LaFerrari.
I mean, they probably think they get away with it because they're fancy. I mean, but it would be like the new Ford by Ford.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
The new Ford. It is a car that you have to go to the factory in Modena, Italy, so that the driver's seat can be custom fit for your ass.
Nice.
What?
Yes. They
really?
They will custom fit the seat. They'll make it custom to fit your butt.
Hmm.
You get to pick the colors at the factory, since the car is hand-built from top to bottom. He settled on cream with a brown interior. It has 1,000 horsepower, a 6.3-liter V12 engine, and will be delivered to his house before Christmas. The cost of the LaFerrari. How much are you guessing he's paying for the Ferrari LaFerrari? It's one of only 499, so it's a collector's item. It is handmade.
$200,000.
I was going to guess way more, like $500,000.
$1.4 million.
Wow! I thought I was high with $200.
$1.4 million for this car.
Wow!
Wow!
They should call it La Stupido. That's what they should call it.
That's crazy.
No word yet on how fast Sammy Hagar plans to drive this car. But I know one thing. He can't drive 55.
In the file.
I'm just saying.
Well, knew he was getting no response from that and still forged ahead.
I'm just saying.
That happened.
Speaking of money, Marvel's Guardian of the Galaxy has now made over $700 million worldwide.
Bitchin'.
It is the sixth best-selling movie of 2014. $700 million, it's only the sixth highest-grossing film of the year.
Wow.
That's crazy. But good news for them. And it looks like, sorry ladies, there probably won't be another installment of the Sex and the City movie franchise.
Aww.
Sarah Jessica Parker and Kristen Davis have been tweeting hints that there could be a third movie in the works. But Chris Noth, who of course played Mr. Big on the series, said it would be a great thing, but he thinks the idea has kind of had its day. And as far as he knows, there are no plans to make it.
Lisa,
film.
Even you hated the last one,
it
right?
Was the worst!
Yeah, there's nothing left there.
Were like in a desert.
There is no meat left on that bone, let's face it.
Yeah. Terrible. They're out.
This Stephen Collins story, ugh. Just doesn't seem it's going to be going away anytime soon. The Us Weekly magazine reports that the L.A. Sheriff's Department has released a statement saying that they have started an investigation after a woman claimed that he exposed himself to her when she was just 13 years old. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, the NYPD have reopened an old case where he was accused of molesting a family acquaintance in the early 70s. So who knows how long this has been going on and how many kids have been affected. Anyone with information in either case is being urged to come forward by local law enforcement, both in Los Angeles and New York. But just...
This is a dumb question, perhaps, Ralph. Maybe this is commonplace in stories like this, but why did it take so long for him to be unveiled if there were so many victims for so long?
A lot of these kids are scared into silence, Bean, when these abuses happen.
And then it takes one to come through to kind of give the others the courage, maybe, to speak?
Exactly. Yeah, once the subject becomes public, as it did with his taped confession, in essence, people are willing to share details. So they're hoping that more information will come forward.
Bad times.
And you can forget all those silly stories about O.J. Simpson being Khloe Kardashian's real father. Now we know that it was actually Lionel Richie.
What?
Who was Khloe Kardashian's real father.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Really?
Hello.
Wait, do we know for sure?
Hello.
Or is that just the latest rumor?
This is the latest rumor.
Okay.
RadarOnline.com says that Kris Jenner enjoyed a smoking hot affair with the singer back in the early 80s while she was still married to the late Robert Kardashian. Word is, Lionel would openly brag about their sexual escapades. And friends of both families can't help but notice that Khloe looks a lot like Lionel's daughter, Sophia. So it looks like Lionel Richie is now Khloe Kardashian's real father. That's the story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. This is all I know about Lionel Richie.
That's one for Burtonsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
I know that.
That's all you need to know.
Family members suspected Khloe might be the daughter of Richie when they found her dancing on the ceiling.
Wow. Come on. Come on, Ralph.
Nothing wrong with that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael McKean. What a talented guy he is.
He's the best.
You know him, of course, from the Christopher Guest films, also Laverne and Shirley, Spinal Tap, geez.
Smallville.
He's just a super talented actor, and by all accounts, a good guy. 67 years old today. He was in that Christopher Guest series on HBO, too, The Family Tree. He played
the
father of Chris O'Dowd in that. I loved him.
If he did nothing but Spinal Tap, he'd be a legend.
Ain't that the truth? But then he went on to do the Folksman. There was another,
that's right, The Mighty Wind.
The Mighty Wind, and he was in Best in Show. He was in all the Chris Guest movies, and he's always brilliant. George Wendt from Cheers is 66 years old today. Director Mike Judge, who also gave us Beavis and Butthead, is 52. Norm MacDonald, the comedian, is 51. Ziggy Marley is 46. Wyclef Jean celebrates his 45th birthday. Chris Kirkpatrick
of NSYNC is 43. And Eminem is 42 years old. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What a show we have for you. Our friend Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so. Jorge Gutierrez is the director of The Book of Life in theaters this weekend. Dave Grohl joins us and Sean White. That's all coming up. First, though, this could be very tough for Dodgers fans to hear, but hit it, Steve.
Travis Ishikawa hits one in the right. The Giants win the pennant.
Yep.
The Giants and Bruce Bochy have been waiting for that home run ball, and it showed up here tonight.
Got to say something about the Giants, man. That's a hell of an organization to go to and win the World Series in 2010, do the same thing in 2012, and now to be back in the series in 2014. That's a remarkable accomplishment.
But we hope they lose.
Dodgers fans do. That's true. RJ Bell on the line from pregame.com. They're in Las Vegas. They do all the sports betting odds. I'll never go anywhere else after last week, RJ. We'll talk about that in a second. But since I brought up baseball, how does baseball do in terms of people putting money down in Las Vegas? I know it's nowhere near football, but is it pretty popular?
No, it's not even close. And it's not so obviously the NFL is more popular when it comes to fans. But also a hindrance for baseball is you bet with a money line. So in football, it's easy. Okay, Denver's favored by 6.5 over San Francisco. You know, are they going to win by more or less than that? That's easy conceptually for people to understand. Baseball with a money line, and let's use the World Series for an example because we do have an early line. Kansas City is minus 125. San Francisco is plus 105 to win the series. So that means you've got to bet 125 on KC. They're the favorite to win just 100. With San Fran, you get a plus money payback. 100 wins you 105. Conceptually, people just don't plug into that the same way, and that really hinders baseball.
Huh. What is the number two sport after the NFL? I'm guessing it's the NBA in terms
of
the
it's
NBA.
College football is number
college
two.
Football.
Yeah,
wow,
so
how about that?
Football is king.
And then soccer.
Well,
I'm just kidding. And
you're right, because my quotes are from an American perspective.
Ah.
If you go global, soccer is huge.
Yeah, I bet so. Well, last week you had a little bit of a tough week here on the Kevin Bean Show. You were 1-2. It was your first losing week, RJ, since we've been talking to you this season. However, you did get the most impressive win of the week for us in that you saw correctly how tight that Chargers-Raiders game was going to be. We thought it was going to be a blowout. You said, hey, the smart money is to take Oakland +7, and I think they ended up losing by 3, so well done on that, sir.
And something I think we're going to talk about every week is in the NFL, that contrarian approach. When everyone goes one way, you go the other is where the edge is. And I do feel good. 15 picks so far with you guys, 11-4. That's only 73%.
Yeah, I pretty much mocked you last week for your Raiders Chargers pick. And then it happened. I was like, oh, man, I got to apologize to him now.
Yep. Well, let's take a look at some of the premier games of week 7 in the NFL. And let's start with your upset special. You want to talk about the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, so this Chicago team, you know, Chicago's a big city, obviously. They have a lot of support where with the casual batters, but this is a team that's overrated. I mean, and Jay Cutler has a certain tendency in his career, which is when he's a home favorite, when he's at home and supposed to win, 11-27 against the spread. Think about that. 11
wow.
winners, 27 losses. Plus, the Bears have a lot of injuries on defense. Miami, on the injury side, has had multiple starters come back last week. So now this is going to be their second week. And Green Bay, in that game last week against Miami, actually had to have a last-second touchdown from Aaron Rodgers to beat Miami, even though Miami had -3 in turnovers. So if you look at last week's games, Miami looks pretty good. +3 right now, I'm taking the Dolphins.
I was really surprised to see you say that Miami is the most underrated team in the league. It's been so long since the Dolphins have been good. That's kind of hard to process.
Yeah, so if you go to, let's say, some of the major media sites, they consider Miami to be about the 23rd best team. Vegas says they're 17th. So a 6-slot difference is actually the biggest difference between Vegas and the major media in the entire NFL.
All right, we move on to the Cleveland Browns, who have been certainly impressive this season. They're up against the worst team in football, Jacksonville. What's going on there?
Yeah, so we talk about it is you want to buy low, sell high. We talk about that. Stocks, houses, same thing with football teams. Well, Cleveland, they're about as high as you can get, right? They had that huge win against the Steelers last week, and now they're favored by 5.5 on the road against Jacksonville. This is the most points the Browns have been favored on the road. Now get ready. Since 1995.
Wow.
So this is historic. Now, is this a historically good Cleveland team? They're only 3-2 this year, but it was that big win that's got everyone excited. Plus, other than the normal letdown you'd expect, teams favored after playing the Steelers 15-36 against the spread. A lot of that is the physical play of the Steelers. Now, the Jags, on the other hand, you want to talk about buying low. Winless underdog, so no wins this year for Jacksonville. They're getting points are 64% since 1992. So this is a classic where we got a team that's really low against a team that's really high. Everyone wants the team that's high. We're going to take the team that's low. Jacksonville plus 5.5.
Wow. Let me ask you this. When you have a team that hasn't won a game yet, is it like when you watch the Powerball where week after week after week it goes and you know eventually they're going to win a game, and it's just does it seem like every week the odds are higher that this is going to be the week they'll break the streak, because what are the chances they'll go undefeated? I mean, go completely winless? Yeah.
Well, here's what I would say is there's something psychological about that zero in the win column. You know, there's all these advanced stats today, but let's be honest. Most of the listeners that do even dabble a little bit in sports betting, they're not looking at the advanced stats. They look at the paper. They go to a website, see the standings, and that big zero has such a psychological impact in the win column that I believe teams are actually unfairly penalized for that. Obviously, they're not a good team. That's why they're not winning games. But people think they're even worse because of that big zero.
All right. Up next, we got a division rivalry game between the Giants and the Cowboys. The Cowboys, you know, broke my heart last week with their great play against the Seahawks. They couldn't have looked any better. The Giants could not have looked any worse against the Eagles last week. How's this one go?
Yeah, and you're seeing the trend. It's another example where you got one team that is, I would make the case that Dallas played as well as any team in the entire league at any game this season when they went into Seattle, maybe the best team of the league still, and won in Seattle. That was unbelievable. With the Giants, on the other hand, on Sunday Night Football, they looked as bad as a team can look. But remember, Dallas is a team that does not handle success well. Check this stat out. When they are favored, as they are this week, 6.5-point favorite, after winning their last game, so it's a double whammy, right? They're favored, so they don't think they have to be that intense. They won last week, so there's no sense of redemption. 2-14 against the spread. That's almost hard to believe. And when Dallas is at home as a favorite, last 26 games, they've only covered 6 times. So I expect the Giants to bounce back. And in this big game, we're going to take the Giants plus 6.5.
Wow. What do you think about that, Kevin?
Boy, that's a tough one. That's a coin flip right there.
Well, if it's a coin Giants flip, Dallas. Take the points.
Yeah.
That's why RJ is the man at pregame.com, because he knows how these coin flips go. So New York Giants plus 6.5. You've got them over the Cowboys. You've got the Dolphins plus 3 over Chicago, right? And you've got Cleveland minus 5.5.
Jacksonville plus the 5.5.
Jacksonville plus 5.5 over Cleveland. Okay, wow. That's going to be an interesting week to see. Go to pregame.com. What else can people look for on your site when they get there, RJ, that you think they might find fascinating?
Well, we actually have a local radio show here in Las Vegas, so we have that show up every 5 days a week during the weekdays, and we do a lot of videos. We have an actual studio, and all that stuff is free, a lot of free picks.
Pregame.com, RJ Bell. Have a great weekend, sir. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks.
Thank you.
Dave Grohl, 1 hour from right now here on The Kevin Bean Show, talking all things Foo Fighters. New album, new TV show premiering tonight on HBO. That's coming up at 8:20 this morning on The Kevin Bean Show. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, Robert Kirkman, creator, executive producer, writer, The Walking Dead, joins us in studio here on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Kirkman.
Hello.
After this new ratings information that just came out this morning, I am surprised you are not already drunk.
Well, the ratings information came in on Monday, and I think it's at least, is it Tuesday today?
It's Friday.
Today's Friday.
Okay. We saw on Monday, hey, The Walking Dead came back for season 5 last night, and it had 17.3 million people. We were like, my God, that's unbelievable. Well, now they've just released the number of the people who watched it afterwards, people who DVR'd it and then watched it throughout the week.
By the way, I haven't heard that number yet. What is that? Did they just release that?
Oh, you haven't heard that number?
No, this will be news to me.
Oh, yeah, L plus 3, as they call it in the business. Is that right, Mr. Kirkman? L plus 3,
yes.
Live plus 3 days. The Walking Dead, 22.4 million people to become last week's most watched show.
Robert, wow. In response to that, just shook his head like,
yeah. The most watched show on television is what we're telling you, though.
That's good.
Well, it's like you tell me a polar bear bounced on a beach ball. You know, I'm like, okay, I can kind of comprehend that. Like, it's just like a weird, like, I have trouble wrapping my head around it. So my only reaction is like, all right, that's a thing that happened. Like, I don't know. Like, that's cool.
Well, look, we've been lucky enough to have you on the show many, many times over the years. And you've told us from the very beginning that this whole thing is just a mystery to you, that the show even got made and that it's even on the air and that they continue to let you make it. So at this point, I guess you just don't even know what to expect.
Look, I'm changing my tune. I'm an expert. I expected this. I thought it was going to be 17.4. It ended up being 17.3. That's my bad. But, I'm an old pro at this now. And, I'm very successful. I'm very happy for it. So sure.
But isn't it? I mean, look. It's so dark and so bloody and so violent. Wouldn't you think that would be such a niche program? And instead, it's the most popular show in America. It's like hard to get our head around that.
It's hard for me to get my head around it. Yeah, I mean, it's infinitely cool, and I think that it does drill down deep into some really like emotional stories that I think are infinitely relatable to people, and
right.
So. I think that I can see where its appeal lies, but at the end of the day, I didn't expect this.
I was talking to Greg Nicotero at Comic-Con about the special effects and the gore and stuff like that. And are you going to have to keep increasing it as seasons go along so that people are still sort of moved by it? He said no. And then I watched the first episode. I was like, holy crap. That's crazy.
Let's talk about that scene in Terminus that was in the first few minutes of last Sunday night. Now, you were there on set when they were slitting all those throats, right, Robert?
Yeah, yeah.
And I read in Entertainment Weekly that you said to someone, they'll never put this on TV. You had some real questions, right?
Yeah, that's what everyone was saying on set. They were like, this is looking awesome. This is turning out so great. Oh, my God, I can't believe how good this looks. They're not going to let us show this.
It's a constant issue, I imagine, stuff that you can put on, stuff that you can't.
I mean,
you just took for granted this was a step over the line?
Yeah, well, it's a constant concern for us. We're
right.
constantly like, okay, are we going to be able to get away with this? How are we going to be able to edit this? And every now and then we have to shave off like a couple of seconds of something that we knew we would have to
right.
change. But we've never really come up with anything that AMC said, absolutely not, you can't do that,
which is crazy.
We've
done stuff on this show that we do on purpose because it's worse than what we want to do. And that way it gives them something to say, you can't do this. And then we go, okay, fine. But we meant it to be cut all along.
Right.
Did
yeah,
you
I think,
do that,
I think we tried to do
to.
That in season one, and then it worked, and we were like, okay, well, we don't know what to do here.
Give me a little.
We kill a little girl zombie in the opening, like,
yeah.
2 minutes. So,
yeah. Yeah.
I think that was our, like, oh.
Yeah, that was an oh wow moment.
Oh, it's back.
That whole episode was oh. It was so hawked up.
Tell me if you don't mind spoiling the magic behind the TV screen, but how was that done? How was that done with the slitting of the throats that it looked so great?
They actually did it.
You would have to talk to Greg Nicotero for the technical
well, you
aspects
saw it,
of it,
though.
I believe elves, but no, I mean they put like a prosthetic like fake neck thing on the person.
Right.
And so, and then they have like, tubes pumping the blood and stuff. And so, and it's all done from different angles. So like when you get a really nice tight close up on the neck, that prosthetic is not there. And then it's the shot when they slash it, there's like there's a prosthetic neck there. And, because of the angle and everything like it, and you've just seen the real neck, you're like, oh my God, so it's all done with movie magic. But,
right.
Lots of blood pumps.
A little bit nervous about the Terminix guys who are wielding the baseball bats because to make it look realistic, at some I mean, when they actually hit the head with the baseball bat, is that a fake head that they're hitting, or is
The actor.
No. Or are they stopping just short like they do movie boxing scenes where they're stopping just short with the bat and then they just add the sounds to make us think they hit it?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how they did that. Now, it was many months ago. I know that they can do a lot with sound effects. They can also swing over the person's head, but cut the shot right before the bat swings over the head.
There was some good sound effectage, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, the sound effects were definitely. Yeah.
And then I just wanted to bring this up. So now you've killed, I think it's three people by hitting them in the back of the head and cutting their throats. And then you get to Glenn.
Yes.
And I'm like, this better. Somebody's going to burn. And then you do the fake swing and he gets interrupted and you're working my emotions like a yo-yo. It's like three different times there were fakes on Glenn.
That's a lot of fun for us. That is all done by design.
I was sweating.
We love that people love these characters as much as we do. And there is a playful nature to scenes like that where
it wasn't playful for me, man.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But like we know that, you know, you're on the edge of your seat. And it's great that we've established in this show that anyone can go at any time. Yeah. So that scene is actually believable.
Yeah. A lot of our favorites. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there are shows where you would watch that scene and go, there's no way they're going to kill that guy. I have no tension whatsoever.
Right. But we were all cursing your name.
Great.
During the episode, we were like, don't you dare, Robert Kirkman. Don't
I'll take it. I'll take it. My ears were on fire. There were 17 million people cursing my name.
Actually, there were 24. I'm sorry.
Actually, I'd say about 99% of those people don't know who I am, but that's okay.
So Rick, I mean, what a roller coaster of emotion for him. I mean, he's lost. He's a shell of the man he once was, and then he's back, and he's a fighter again. And we just saw even the range of emotions over this first hour back in season five. I mean, he's as mad as he's ever been at the end of that episode. I mean, they pretty much have to hold him back from going back and just committing genocide.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to jump through those flames and murder everyone. I mean, that's a testament to
he's
Andrew
psychologically damaged, right?
Oh, definitely. That guy's a mess.
Everyone
is pretty wrecked at this point, whether they show it 100% or not. Andrew Lincoln is just consummate professional and just this, you know, amazing actor that is a great leader on set. And the things that he puts himself through to be able to get his performance to that level is quite a sight to behold. He's constantly like in the corner yelling at himself or doing push-ups.
Really?
Doing whatever
he's just
can.
Andrew. That's what he does.
It's pretty funny.
Wow.
It's pretty funny. It's like
awesome.
There's Andrew doing his thing, but then he gets in front of the camera and it's like, oh, that's magic.
Yeah.
It's great.
He's astonishing. He really is. And we were talking to Chris Hardwick on Monday, of course, from the Talking Dead show. That guy, right. And we were talking about, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about The Walking Dead is everybody who's left on Earth after this event is a changed person. And they have to decide now that society has collapsed around them, they have to decide what kind of a human am I going to be? Like how much of an animal am I going to be and how much civilization is still left in me? And that's the constant struggle that we love to watch.
And some of these people go, I guess I'm going to be terrible.
Robert Kirkman is here, of course, from The Walking Dead. It's back this Sunday night at 9 on AMC with episode number 2, which Mr. Kirkman himself wrote, by the way. And I'm just guessing.
So sorry about that.
I'm just guessing. He's not going to tell us a damn thing about it when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Robert Kirkman in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show, creator, executive producer, and writer of The Walking Dead, Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. Congratulations, by the way. You have already been renewed for next season. Do I have that right?
Yes. Kirkman? Yes.
What about season 7, though?
We haven't gotten the
Have you heard about that?
Yet.
All right.
I don't know. We'll
see.
How
far out do you plan the TV show? I know that we're not synced up with the book. So how far out do you plan the TV show in your mind? Like how many episodes ahead have you already worked on?
Well, we're right now wrapping up the season. So the script for 15 just came in, and the script for 16 is currently being written by the talented showrunner, Mr. Scott Gimple.
Wow.
And so so we're pretty much wrapping things up writing-wise.
What happens?
Everyone dies. Okay. But we'll be filming through November, and then we start writing season 6 in January.
And do you have any idea what the end game is here, or is your plan to just go as long as you love it?
I know how I'm ending the comic book series, and I know that that's going to be a long way away. And so I'm in this unique position where I can't tell anyone on the television show like how I plan to end it, just in case they end up ending the show before the comic because
that makes sense.
You know, I can't have my ending out there in TV form before I finish my comic.
How long do you want the comic to go?
I don't know. I'd like to do like 300 issues or more. I plan on going for a good long while, but I do. I'm starting to notice how old I'm getting. So, you know, we'll see.
You wrote how many episodes a season do you generally write for the TV show?
Only one or two.
Okay.
Depending on, you know, what else I have going on right now. I ended up only writing one this year because I'm working on the Walking Dead spinoff.
Gotcha. And we want to talk about that in a little bit, too. Tell us about episode two of this season, the one that you wrote.
Well, you know, we pick up right where we left off. Everybody's on the road in the wake of the big battle at Terminus.
Spoiler alert. Probably should have said that 20 minutes ago. Okay,
oh,
go
sorry.
Ahead.
Yeah. Keep going. They're all reeling from the death of Daryl. And they're... That didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
I can't say much, but I will say we introduce a new character. So there's a new person brought into the fold. You can't tell. Could be good. Could be bad. The jury's still out.
Sure. Where's Beth?
She's on the show. No, Beth's whereabouts will be revealed in an upcoming episode. Could be this week, could be next week. You never know. Could be next year, but all will be revealed very soon.
Is episode two this weekend? Is this the one where we have been hearing that there's a little bit more urban environments on this season? They're going to head back to a city. Are we getting close to that?
That comes later.
That comes later. Okay.
So yeah. Definitely, I'll spoil that. Definitely no big cities in the next episode.
That has got to be fun for everybody involved to go from the country to the city, I would imagine, just in terms of being able to do different things and have everything look different.
Yeah, I mean, the change of scenery is always a welcome thing, but the last time we really filmed for any length of time in Atlanta proper was before the show had really come out.
Right.
And so going back with the show at the level of popularity it's at now, it was
pretty difficult.
It was a logistical nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Now, you mentioned the Walking Dead spinoff.
It's not Carl, is it?
It's all Carl. It's actually like...
No, I'm serious now. The spinoff is not Carl.
No, it's a time travel show where four Carls from different eras team up to fight an evil Carl. I shouldn't have said that. We're trying to keep things close to the vest. Sorry.
Kevin, did you ask Robert about the Carl video that you've been so enamored of this week?
I did not. Have you seen Carl Papa?
I have.
Bad lip reading?
The bad lip reading with the rapping?
That's so good.
Don't you love him now?
Now I love
there
that.
There you go.
As long as... Put that in the show. I'm in.
All right. We'll
I want him to rap.
Okay, whatever it takes to get you to like Carl, I'll have him wrapping up a storm.
Is the spinoff set? You said it's time travel, so it's
no,
not,
it's not time travel.
I was making fun of.
I can't tell with you. No, it's
that was his response to my Carl thing.
Dinosaurs. It's all dinosaurs fighting zombies. Unfortunately, there's not very much I can say, but it is as different as it can be from the original show.
Okay.
But we're going to be following the same rules. It's going to be set in the same world. But we're going to
be telling different... Same world, same time, just a different group of survivors?
But a completely different kind of story. So all will be revealed in time.
And when does that start? For us.
He can't tell you.
Yeah, I know we're filming very soon for the pilot, but as far as when the show makes it to air, that is still... unknown to me at the current time.
All right. Let me ask you if I can back up for 1 second, Mr. Kirkman, another question about last week's episode.
Sure.
You have a fake Judith also, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay, good.
And it is horrifying.
I was a little bit worried about baby Judith. Did that look like it was going too well for her for a minute there?
No, it's a very realistic baby doll, and I think the more real you make a baby doll, the creepier
yeah.
they are.
Oh, yeah.
So I have photos of that thing on my phone because we were filming some night scenes for episode two. And it was just kind of sitting in the shadows of a room, like on a blanket. And I was like, this is the scariest thing that's ever happened on this set, is this fake baby just sitting in the darkness staring at me.
It was unbelievable to see Tyrese turn into beast mode on Sunday night. I mean, who knew he had that in him? It seems like he's always trying to hold back from being that guy. And at some point, he had to be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he survived that herd attack at the beginning of season four. So we know that that guy's got – I think that's really that guy's MO. He knows that he can go to this place at the drop of a hat, and it terrifies him. And so that's why he holds back so much. I think that's what makes that character so interesting.
I wanted to kill the guy that was tied up on the floor. That
guy
was
a bit of a jerk.
Yeah, that guy was great.
He was going to snap that baby's neck. That's not a nice thing to do.
No, it isn't. No.
Lisa had a great question when we were breaking down last week's episode, and that's, where did he get the gum? They must be out of gum by now.
Yeah.
Maybe they're making their own.
Making their own gum?
I don't know how you make gum.
Out of people?
Yeah, it's people gum. It's like a, well, like a kneecap. Just boil a kneecap.
Has he been chewing that piece of gum for like a year?
Yeah.
Okay. How far after the zombie invasion are we in this
make
show
a
right
note,
now?
No more gum. You know, I don't know the exact time as far as zombie invasion. I probably should. I know it's like roughly like a couple of years at this point based on the time jumps that we've had between seasons.
Is the president dead, do you think?
We don't know. Maybe we'll find out.
Hmm. Well, I mean, there's talk of going to D.C.
That's true.
By the way, Mullet Man has no answers.
No,
I'm just putting that out there right
either.
Now. Yeah. I'm not buying it.
How awesome. That's great. Crap. How awesome would this show be if they got to Washington and it was like President Hulk Hogan in this universe? And it was like, hey, everybody.
That'd be awesome.
Do you think that would be a shark jumping moment? I think it'd make the show better.
I think so, too. I'd
love
it.
I'd like to vote for it. If I had a vote. Yeah.
Great. Before we say goodbye, season 5, episode 2 airs this Sunday night at 9 on AMC. There's so much else going on in the Robert Kirkman universe. Tell us the other stuff that you're working on right now, because you said you got the Walking Dead spinoff. You're also filming this new show, Outland, right?
Outcast.
Yeah,
it's a partnership with Fox International and Cinemax, and we're filming that before the end of the year, and then hopefully moving into series pretty quickly. We'll find out soon. But yeah, we're doing that. That's a comic book of mine that debuted in June. It's a fairly new book. So I do that comic, the Walking Dead comic. I do a superhero book called Invincible, and then we've got the two pilots going, and then the Walking Dead show.
So. Do you write your stuff a little bit differently now that you've had to make it into a TV show? Do you?
I write quicker.
Has it changed your writing of the comics any?
I mean, I feel like I have a better understanding of, I mean, when you work in different mediums, you find out the strengths and weaknesses of each.
Right.
And I feel like I have a better understanding of, like, you know, what really works well on a comic and what really works well on TV. And I think that that's made me a better writer. You know, before I started writing in television, I'd never worked in a writer's room for any length of time. And so being able to be around so many other writers and see their points of view and see how they work, you know, is definitely making me better. Whether that comes through in the work, I don't know.
We'll judge this Sunday.
But I feel like I'm getting better, so we'll see.
When you invented all these characters in The Walking Dead, you invented what they looked like. Now when you write them, do you see the actors that play them on TV?
To a certain extent. I mean, I definitely hear voices from the actors when I'm writing the characters now. And that's definitely a little strange. But you know, it's fun. It's neat. Like, you know, before the show, I never really knew what Rick Grimes sounded like. You know, it wasn't really something I dwelled on. And now that I kind of know that, that helps.
Do you ever hear him in a British accent, though? Like when you talk to the real Andrew Lincoln?
I think it still shakes me every time I see Andrew. I'm like, oh, yeah, I keep forgetting. Because
that is weird.
When you're on set with him, he will actually stay in the American accent, you know, for most of the time. Every now and then he'll slip up. But I think 80% of the time I'm talking to that guy, he is, you know, speaking with his American accent.
That's weird.
That is
shocking
weird.
To us, but I would expect you to hear it all the time, but he stays in the American accent.
Not as much. I mean, well, you know, we'll go out to dinner or, you know, be at a, like, a press event or something, and then that's when I see the...
But nothing is more shocking than when you accidentally come across Love Actually on TV, though, and then you go, no way.
Who is that baby face guy?
That's what blows your mind as you go, that can't be Rick. Yeah. Come on. So, all right. Well, this is sad. It always goes by so fast when you're in here telling us nothing, but we really enjoy it when you visit. Congratulations on the phenomenal ratings for
last
week.
Thank you so much.
So it can't improve upon that. I mean, you're going to kill the series this weekend with your show, right?
It's all going downhill from here. It must.
I demand
it.
Sunday night at 9 on AMC, The Walking Dead. Let's give it up for our friend Robert Kirkman coming by. Thanks, sir.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Jorge Gutierrez, director and screenwriter for this weekend's The Book of Life, joins us right after the top of the hour. And then a man named David Eric Grohl from Foo Fighters will be with us as well. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat now on a Friday. What's going on?
It is Friday, and I want to give people a heads up. Tonight at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are hitting the stage again for two shows.
No.
At 8 o'clock, we do our Comic-Con theater where we read... A live performance of Batman Meets the Green Hornet, issue number 5, the brand new issue.
Hell no!
And then at 10 o'clock, if you want to come out and see Hollywood Babylon, We're going to be doing that show tonight at 10. You can go to improv.com to get more information and to get your tickets. Love to see you come out tonight and join us.
Off. No way.
All right. There's that.
Or that.
Chris Lee Knows Best. Are you familiar with Chris Lee Knows Best?
I am not.
This is the show about the Chris Lee family. Chris Lee is, well, he's in fashion, and he's got a wife and kids.
Okay.
But I'll be dipped if he's not just as gay as the day is long.
Why okay. is Kevin not familiar with this show that we've talked about on the air?
I don't know. I know we've played clips from it, and we've talked about it, and I was hoping for a little support, but no, I spent a lot of time revisiting the entire setup and explaining it to Kevin again.
Pay a lot of attention surprised by that. That I don't like.
No, but at least your retention is zero, so that's good. Anyway, it's come back for a second season on the USA Network, pulling in 1.6 total viewers for basic cable. That's enormous.
You said 1.6 total. You mean million?
1.6 million total viewers, yes. That's up nearly 50% from its season one premiere. So people are tuning in droves to see this guy deny his sexuality. Which
is that
I think
the
is
fascination? Because we don't care about him from a fashion perspective.
No,
right?
No one knows who he is or what he does, but everyone's just fascinated watching him just struggle, just barely holding his gay self inside, just waiting to burst. It's kind of crazy. And his family's kind of crazy, too. His kid is like 15 years old, whatever, has had a complete set of veneers in. Now he looks like just a chiclet factory. And his wife's in denial. It's just, it's a fascinating little show if you want to check it out. And good news or bad news for Star Wars fans, it was announced yesterday that Warwick Davis has signed up to participate in Episode 7, the Star Wars film that J.J. Abrams is currently shooting. Warwick Davis, you may or may not know, was Wicket, the Ewok.
Midget, please.
In the Return of the Jedi. So, everyone is assuming Warwick will be reprising his role as Wicket the Ewok, which takes place some 30 years after Return of the Jedi, this film does. So, a little grayer, but I'm guessing he's still cute as a bug's ear.
It looked like you stole a midget pants.
Little Ewok.
All right.
I don't need no Ewoks.
You don't think so?
Nope.
You can do without them?
Do without the Ewoks.
Yeah, they really overdid the Ewoks on Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, maybe this just be a taste of an Ewok. Like you see him at the Star Wars cantina or something, nursing a beer.
Yeah, Wicket, what's up, Holmes?
And they'll just walk right past him, yeah.
Who in the cast would use the word Holmes?
Oh, Han Solo.
Okay.
Because then when you had all those Ewoks, then they all start dancing.
What's up, Holmes?
I like it.
Doing that. Today's celebrity birthday is Michael McKean is 67 years old today. George Wendt from Cheers is 66. Mike Judge, 52 years old today. Norm MacDonald.
Well, Norm MacDonald. He's 51 years old today. Yeah, 51. Yeah. And what's 1 year more than 50? 51.
Ziggy Marley is 46 years old today. Wyclef Jean, 45. Chris Kirkpatrick of NSYNC is 43. And Eminem celebrates his 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Fluffy is back in here. Gabriel Iglesias just walked into the studio. Are you kidding me? It's great to see you again, Fluff. How are you?
Nope. Everybody.
Oh, wait. He's next week. I'm sorry. I'm confused. It's director and screenwriter of this weekend's big movie called The Book of Life, Jorge Gutierrez, joins us in studio here on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, Jorge.
Hi, you guys.
It's a pleasure to have you. Nice to see you. I understand you've been listening to the show for a while.
Yeah, I it's pretty crazy to be here. I've been a huge fan ever since I was in film school. I listen to you guys every morning, and so it's crazy.
I don't know what to do with that a lot of times, because when somebody who has talent tells us they listen, then I go, I can't buy
it. You kind of have to disregard their talent.
Is he kidding?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
we're just shocked when any of our listeners are not just burners. I mean, when any of our listeners are accomplished, we go, how did that happen? So, well, congratulations. I understand The Book of Life is the film that you've been wanting to make ever since you first started thinking about making programs, right? This has been your dream project.
Yeah, 14 years in the making, and it's finally coming out today.
14 years, and it all comes down to today.
Yeah, my whole future will be decided this weekend.
Why? What was it about this idea for The Book of Life that you were so enamored of?
Well, I've always loved the Day of the Dead, this Mexican tradition, and it's everywhere now. You see it in tattoos and hot rods, and you see it everywhere, but I love the message underneath, and it's very poetic to me. this idea that as long as we tell the stories of those who are no longer with us, as long as we sing their songs, cook their favorite dishes, tell their favorite jokes, they're here. They're here with us. And if we don't talk about them, then they really are gone. And so that's what the film's about.
And why did you want it to? Did you always want it to be animated, or at some point was it going to be a live action thing?
Oh, I've been dreaming of being an animator forever. So this is sort of the medium I love, and I love Nightmare Before Christmas. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
So this is my Mexican version of that idea, sort of a world that hopefully everyone around the world can jump into and fall in love with.
Did you make the change on purpose where this movie does look different than any other animation I've seen?
Well,
my
wife, Sandra, designs all the female characters, and I design all the male characters. I'm not allowed to draw girls by her.
Because their boobs are all too big then?
Well, the way she puts it is, if I draw girls, they look like they have relaxed morals.
And so, you draw sluts. That's what she's saying. That's funny.
And that's just how we draw. So when people say, oh, it looks so weird, it looks so different, it looks normal to me.
So it's animated, and also it's available in 3D as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was not a fan of 3D, so when the decision was made, I said, I'm going to make the 3D something I love, and so we made it a part of the story.
Wow. This is a dream cast is this your first movie? I know you've had that popular Manny Rivera TV show for a long time, but is this your first film?
Yeah, this is my first film, so I figured
wow,
if
amazing.
This is my last film, I'm going to put everything in it.
I like that confidence.
This might cast be my last. That you've been able to assemble of your voice actors, why did you hire such ridiculously beautiful people if they're just voice actors?
They're not only are they beautiful on the outside, but they're beautiful on the inside, and their performances are just amazing. I still cannot believe the cast we got.
Channing Tatum, Zoe Saldana, Ron Perlman, Christina Applegate, Diego Luna, Ice Cube. So you now know all of these people and are friends and probably have hung out with them.
Yeah, and I still, I'm still a fan. So
could you call the Cube right now? What do you take your call?
Maybe.
Yeah. That's better than us.
Maybe.
And, of course, you got Zoe Saldana pregnant, so you got that. That's something you'll be dealing with years to come.
Pretty sure that was not him.
So all I know is she looks pretty pregnant to me, and she just did this guy's movie.
No. Marco is a beautiful husband, the Italian artist. I mean, he's a really cool guy.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Book of Life for folks. So you made the reference to the Dawn of the Dead, and that plays a part in the movie.
Day of the Dead.
Yeah, Dawn of the Dead, very different.
Very different.
Very different. But there's also a beautiful love story going. Let's talk about that.
Well, it's very much a love triangle between Channing Tatum's character and Diego Luna's character for the love of Zoe. But ultimately in the film, it's her choice. She gets to decide who she's going to marry. And so these ancient gods make a wager on them to judge mankind, like, is mankind's heart pure, or is mankind's heart a little corrupted?
Depends on the man.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So is that because one of the suitors is a good guy, one of them's a bad guy?
Well, they're both good guys, but one is more of a romantic, sort of the artist. It's sort of a love letter to every artist who tried to convince their father-in-law that they were worth dating their daughter.
Because most father-in-laws go, what's his job? No.
Yeah, exactly. And I had to go through that, and my father had to go through that, and my grandfather had to go through that. So it's a very personal story.
And you were born in and grew up in Mexico.
Yeah, I grew up in Mexico City.
So this is, this is your people. This is stories that you saw unfold around you. This is something that's very personal to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. My grandfather used to say to me, Jorge, don't ever let the truth get in the way of a good story. So this is a very embellished version of all those stories I heard.
At what age did you realize you had talent? At some point you had to go, hey, not cocky, but just this.
You know, it was weird.
I can do this.
They would use me as a party monkey in Mexico. My grandfather would take me out and say, draw for my friends, and they'd turn me upside down and have me draw. So it was like my
what the hell kind of training is that?
Well, I mean,
hold you upside down.
Yeah. It was, but it. You know, it kind of, that's how I, it was like trial by fire.
Yeah, you have to learn under pressure.
So do you hang by your feet when you draw now? Is that your style?
So your family just—they must be blown away that I mean you—you kind of already made it, regardless of how well the movie does, and I'm sure it'll do great. But I mean, you're living in Hollywood and making a major motion picture that's being released all over the country. I mean, they must be amazed to see this. Your dream has come true, Jorge.
We just had the premiere in Mexico City, and my father sat next to me, and he put his hand on my arm, and every time there was a big emotional moment, he just squeezed my arm. And by the end of the movie, he turned around and he said, "Jorge, this is the best conversation we've ever had."
Aww.
And I just,
wow.
The tears just exploded.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
That is something. This is Jorge Gutierrez here on the Kevin Beach Show, director and screenwriter for The Book of Life, which does look amazing. It's opening in theaters today. Let's hear a little bit from the trailer.
I may not be the town hero, Maria, but I swear with all my heart, I will never stop loving you.
Ray! Manolo!
Where am I?
Welcome to the land of the remembered. Epic fiestas every day.
All you can eat churros.
Please help me reunite with the love of my life.
If you complete these tasks,
you will see Maria again.
I know exactly what to play. You got what I need.
How did you get Radiohead to sign off on letting you use one of their songs sung by your characters in your film, Jorge? They are notoriously difficult to license.
Well, you know, as you guys know, I'm a big K-Rock fan, so I all this music in the movie is stuff I heard on the radio.
Right, but they don't say yes to most people.
Well, Guillermo del Toro, our producer, said, "You're not going to get that song." I tried getting that song. They denied it to me. So start thinking of other songs. And I honestly, I put it in the script, you know, not knowing.
Right.
And so I just put it in there.
You didn't have a backup?
No. It was all or nothing.
That's a terrible plan, but it worked out really well.
So, you know, we sent the band a video of what we were doing with the song, and they said, this is what, you know, the song is about. And it's every teenager's frustration, feeling like they don't fit in, and they just gave it to us.
Oh,
so after
cool.
that, everyone freaked out. No one could believe it. You know, I printed the email, and I put it on my wall. And so every time
Did you go back to Guillermo and go, "Hey, how you like that, bitch?"
Yeah. Not quite. But after that, anytime a band would say, "We're not sure we want to give you the song," we'd go, "Oh, so you're saying you're better than Radiohead?"
Nice. I like it.
Biz Markie, just as difficult to get, though, right?
So, for example, that song, I have a 5-year-old, and in the 90s, I loved that song, and now he loves it because it's on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah.
So it became a song that sort of connected us.
That's an awesome song. Wow. All right, before you go, Jorge, because I apologize we're out of time, but we got Dave Grohl on the phone. We're going to be talking to him coming up here next. But explain mariachi tweets to us, because this is something that was all over the internet, trending nationwide last night. It's hilarious. How did this become a promotion for the Book of Life?
Someone in Fox Marketing and Digital came up with this brilliant idea, and so you tweet whatever you want, and these super genius mariachi guys will just play it like a real mariachi song.
They play and sing your tweet.
Exactly.
And let me play a couple of those just to give you an idea. First of all, someone was very excited about the holiday right around the corner.
It's almost Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. It's almost Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. It's almost Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
Not much of a tweet without the mariachis, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then here's the one I wanted to play to say goodbye, because I love this so much. This is must have been a family member of yours, because the gist of this is everybody needs to go out and see the Book of Life this weekend so that Jorge can buy more churros. Listen up.
So he can eat more churros.
Was that your tweet?
That was my tweet.
Nice. Well, I hope you get lots of churros, and I hope the Book of Life is a huge success this weekend. We urge our listeners to go out and see it. It's in theaters everywhere. Jorge Gutierrez stopping by today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you guys so much.
When I talk about it, this is a call to arms. You know you make me break. Everlong.
gentlemen, Dave Grohl.
You guys, I miss you. Because I feel like if 6 months go by and I don't talk to you, that my career is over. So I'm glad that we're talking right now because it lets me know that I can still keep the heat on up at the mansion.
I think your career is pretty much good. It's on track. You're doing well.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no worries.
Well, listen, a lot of Foo Fighters on the TV tonight. Of course, it's the final night of your David Letterman residency on CBS. But then at the same time that you're rocking on CBS, we can switch over to HBO and see the debut of your new TV series, Foo Fighters Sonic Highways, on at the exact same time. In a million years, did little Dave Grohl imagine he'd be dominating two TV channels at one time?
You know, I think little Dave Grohl was probably aspiring to be the greatest drywaller in Springfield, Virginia. I think that was my destiny. And then I got really lucky. But,
well,
oh, man, it's insane. I mean, every time since we've been working on this TV show, every time I sit down to edit one of the episodes, the first thing that comes up is that whoosh, wah, HBO sound.
Right, sure.
Like, what the hell?
And you're looking around for Larry David.
My life.
Exactly. Well, we were talking about, I mean, yeah, let's not forget you're also doing the interviews on this show and editing the show and having to try to write and perform a song like in a week. Like, rock and roll isn't difficult enough as a job. You're trying to put all these hurdles in front of you to make it even harder. You're some sort of masochist.
Well, you have to imagine. You know, we've been a band for 20 years. Here's one of the great things. October 17th is the 20th anniversary of the day that I went to the studio down the street from my house in Seattle and started recording the first Foo Fighters record, which I didn't think was going to be a record because it wasn't even a band. I just went down the street to record these songs, and it was kind of the first thing I did since Nirvana had ended. And so it's hard to believe that the last 20 years have gone by and that we've landed where we are today.
Dave, can I make a confession?
Yes.
When I first heard that you were going to make an album, I was like, oh, no, the drummer from Nirvana is going to try and come out with a solo album.
It's Ringo all over again is what you were thinking.
Well, you know, that's a famous drummer joke. Like, what's the last thing the drummer said before he got kicked out of the band? Hey, guys, I got a song I think we should play. You know, like. And so, I mean, honestly, I started playing guitar when I was maybe about 9 or 10 years old. So that's my first instrument. And I played guitar in bands when I was young. But the drummers were always just kind of crappy. I don't know how to say it. But
right.
So I finally said to one of the drummers, I said, hey, give me those things. Let me try this. And I started playing the drums, and I had a knack for doing it. So I was the drummer from then on. But I always had a guitar with me on tour wherever I was, and I always wrote songs. And I would record them by myself, but I never let anyone hear them because I didn't think they were any good, and I didn't think anybody would want to hear them. And being in Nirvana, it's like, you don't want to confuse the songwriting process when you're in a band like that.
Right.
Like, we had the greatest songwriter in the world, and all I had to do was beat the hell out of the drums, and you had Nirvana. That was great. And so, but then after the band was over, it was really, it was the one thing that I realized was going to help me get on with life was to try something new and to challenge myself rather than just become a drummer of another band.
But the truth is, Dave, don't you think that Nirvana would have broken up anyway, just like George Harrison had to leave the Beatles because he just couldn't do anything with all those songs he wrote? I mean, at some point you needed this other way to express yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've always felt that musicians, it doesn't matter if they're on their own, on their couch at home, or in a rehearsal space or at a stadium, most musicians just want to play. And so I just want to play. I'm still that way. Like, I wake up in the morning wanting to do it. So I knew that at some point in my life, I was just going to have to get it out of my system. And so, you know, the last 20 years, I mean, you have to, like, think about it like a marriage. It's five dudes married to each other for 20 years.
Yeah.
You have to keep this alive by doing things that you've never done before. And so this whole concept basically came from that. Like, the last record we made in my garage, and we just used tape machines and no computers, and that was to sort of challenge the band in an environment that was outside of our comfort space. And this whole project is an extension of that idea. Like, oh, okay, well, instead of just going to my garage and recording a record, let's record each song in a different studio, in a different city. Let's film it for a documentary series where we tell the story of this, the music from each city and the regional relevance of all these places by interviewing all the most recognizable musicians in the country. But then also, rather than just kind of show up with a song, let's show up with an instrumental. And then as I'm interviewing these people throughout the week, the very last day of the session, I take all the transcripts from those interviews back to my hotel room with a bottle of wine, and I lock the door, and I read through those transcripts and pick out phrases and sentences and words. I take those, I put them on the left-hand side of my journal. On the right-hand side of my journal, I have an outline of the song, and I fit those phrases and sentences and words in to make a song that will tell the story of the entire episode. So the finale of this episode is a performance of the song where the lyrics come up on screen and you recognize all the lyrics from all of the stories and interviews you've just heard.
It sounds great to us, but if you're in the band, I think I would say, hey, Dave, let's not make it quite so hard on ourselves.
Yeah, well, you know, they thought that, but they didn't say it. They know I'm a little nuts and that I don't sleep and I'm a total spaz and I try to get us to do things that nobody else would do. But they, you know, I think they trust me and they think like, okay, well, if he thinks that we're going to be able to pull it off, we'll probably pull it off.
This is the voice of Dave Grohl here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Foo Fighters' Sonic Highways, which premieres tonight on HBO at 11. As Dave mentioned, they go all over the country. They do an episode in Austin, in Los Angeles, Nashville, New Orleans, New York, Seattle, Washington, D.C. The episode that's on tonight is spotlighting Chicago. So what you're saying, Dave, is that that song that we'll see tonight, Something from Nothing, the first song on the Sonic Highways album, that song would have sounded totally different if you had done that same process in another city. It would not sound the way it does from Chicago.
Well, that's kind of that's the basis or the premise of the entire series and the concept of the series is, you know, there's a reason why these different types of music came from these different places. Like, there's a reason why jazz happened in New Orleans. And it's cultural. It's historical. It's not just instruments and musicians. It's like hundreds of years of culture and history, and there's a reason why blues made its way to Chicago, and it's not just the people and the music. It's like it's a migration of people from the South going up north to find work and taking their music with them, and how these cities change not only the people but the music, you know. But it's really exciting. At some point, thousands of years of history, people have told stories to pass down their tradition or their culture. And making a documentary like this, it's kind of the same thing, because I want my kids to watch this and know who Fats Domino was. And I have the opportunity and resource to be able to tell these stories.
By the way, you're going to do that for me as well. I'm pretty close-minded when it comes to older music, older musicians, but you're a guy I would listen to when you're talking about them.
Here's the thing. People need to be inspired to be inspired, I think. And you have this next generation of musicians, they become the focus of the project. Like, okay, cool. How can we tell this story so people will connect with it and then be inspired to do the same thing? Like, this is one of the great things about talking to all of these people. And you'll see in the Chicago episode, I mean, Buddy Guy, he's a legendary blues guitarist. He's sort of the focus of this Chicago episode. And he made his first guitar from, like, wires and nails and wood from his screen porch. Like, that's how he started playing.
Wow.
A couple years ago, he got inducted into the Kennedy Center Honors. So now he's like a living blues legend. And if you think about it, like, he totally created something from nothing. Like, he didn't even have a radio. He had, like, he was making instruments with buttons and strings. And it's like, so he, you know, he just did it because he had this spark of inspiration. And he went on to change the world, like Buddy Guy's music. He was the guy recording for Chess Records that, like, the Stones and Jeff Beck and Eric Clapton, they heard his playing and they were like, no, that's the real deal.
Wow.
That guy right there, he and Muddy Waters, that's where it's at.
Dave, your interview, and we got to take a quick break here with Dave Grohl on the phone talking about Foo Fighters' Sonic Highways, but we will come right back. Your interviews are great in this, and I could tell how enamored you were of your subjects. I mean, whether it's Steve Albini you're talking to or Bonnie Raitt in this episode of The Great Buddy Guy, I mean, I can tell you're as much of a fan as we are of yours, so that really comes through. All right, let's take a quick break. The show airs tonight on HBO. More with Dave Grohl right after this on K-Rock. Dave Grohl on the phone talking about out Foo Fighters' Sonic Highways again tonight. It debuts on HBO. We've been hearing about it. It's finally here. Episode number one is Chicago. Dave, tell me about some of the other cities. Like, just in your mind, when you think about the other cities that you and the band traveled to record this show, what stands out as highlights for you that we're going to see down the road?
Honestly, dude, we spent a week in New Orleans in the French Quarter. I mean, I don't know if you've ever spent a week in New Orleans in the French Quarter.
I've spent about 4 days, and I had to leave to stay alive.
Yeah, so basically that, I mean, a lot of these places that we recorded, some of them weren't even studios. So the place we recorded in New Orleans is this tiny 200-year-old building called the Preservation Hall, where the Preservation Hall Jazz Band plays three shows a night. They play traditional New Orleans jazz in a room that's like the size of my bedroom when I was a kid. There's no microphones. There's no PA system. There are just church pews and a jazz band, and they pack it every night, traditional New Orleans jazz. Well, right across, I mean, this is in the French Quarter. There were bars to the left, to the right, and across the street. And there were times where Taylor would do like a drum track, and then he'd have to walk across the street and pull me out of the bar to come listen. It was amazing, you know.
Dave, I see how enthusiastic you still are about rock and roll. And even with all the influences you're talking about that aren't rock that play into your sound on this new album, Sonic Highways, coming out November 10th, by the way, why do you suppose rock and roll has slipped so much in popular culture? There are so few stations like K-Rock left anymore. Why is there so little rock being played or even cared about or even made?
Well, you know, there's lots of rock being played and there's lots of rock being cared about and being made all over the world. I think that, you know, popular culture works in cycles. You know, think about where music was just before Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and Alice in Chains, all those bands blew up. We were kind of in a place where it almost seemed untouchable. You know, there were a lot of bands that were really heavily stylized and heavily produced, and it was really fun, and it was, you know, fun to party to. But there's sometimes where you get hungry for something that's real, you know? Like, I want to see a dude sweating blood over his instrument he just smashed on the ground. Like, everybody has that in them sometimes. And I think it just sort of works in these cycles, you know? For me, it's my air and food. It's my lifestyle. It's just what I do. My band is my family, and the music we make is our voice, you know? But I think, you know, it's never going to disappear. It's just a matter of, I mean, honestly, like, when I step out at a Foo Fighters gig and there's an arena or a club or a stadium full of people singing Everlong or My Hero or Pretender or whatever, like, rock and roll is alive and well in my house. And I'm just like, okay, I'm sorry that some people might feel starved for it, but come see us, man. It's alive
that,
and well.
Look, you know? That's the thing. Foo Fighters is one of the bands that we look at and we go, okay, just like Nirvana in 93, hopefully this Foo Fighters one will change a lot of society. You're one of the bands that can do it.
Well, but you have to understand is that I'm not a kid anymore. And so, I mean, the rock and roll is a young man's game, you know. And so basically at this point, my mission in life is to get those instruments into those kids' hands. Watch the episode about Buddy Guy. Watch the episode about Steve Albini or Chuck D or Dolly Parton or Seattle and, like, put an instrument in your hand and start playing. Because then it's only a matter of time. You plant that seed and it's only a matter of time. So because, you know, nobody's going to look at me and think, like, wow, Dave's so cool and new, you know. Not going to happen. So, but, you know, but if you want, you know, we'll bring the party. Like, you want to come out, we'll bring the party. Otherwise, we're going to make this a project like this. The intention is really to inspire people to be inspired. You know, that's when people start digging through record store racks, and that's when people get online and hunt down music, when they're inspired to do that, you know?
So we're talking to Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters. Again, the TV series is Foo Fighters Sonic Highways, HBO, tonight at 11, and then each week for 8 weeks, right?
Yeah, we did 8 of them.
The album comes out on Monday, November 10th. Sonic Highways is what it's called. Of course, Dave, you're going to be playing in Las Vegas next weekend for the Life is Beautiful Festival as well. So you're staying busy. I'm glad we got a chance to catch up with you. I saw episode one. I've already seen episode one of tonight. I am on the edge of my seat waiting for the rest of it. It is great television.
Mean, honestly,
people are going to love it.
Every one of them is a little bit different, and each one of them you learn or realize something that you'd never even thought of before, and it's really, I'm really, really proud of it. It's really
Let me ask you one final question before you hang up, Dave. And that, now that you've done the Sound City movie, and now that you've been, you know, produced and directed these episodes of Sonic Highways, I mean, you got a real talent for making stuff. Do you think you'd ever make something else that's not music based? Can you see yourself being a movie director or something like that?
You know, I can't imagine myself standing in front of like a 22-year-old male model and asking him to emote for me.
That doesn't seem like you, no.
No, I'd be like, do it, you little puppet. But I think, you know, I have a lot of offers to do more of this type of thing, and I really enjoy doing it. I really do. Like, I really enjoy getting together with my team and telling these stories so that they'll do justice to all the people involved. I got
See, one day you'll be too old to rock, and maybe that's your backup career then, Dave.
Man, what'd you just say?
You heard him.
I already am too old to rock. Are you kidding me?
Oh, please.
David, we love you, man. Come see us anytime. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
All right, gentlemen. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Just hung up.
Just for the record, right then, I just hung up.
Well done.
Gave him plenty of time. Didn't want to hang up on him.
I don't think we need any more whistling. I think the song covers it pretty well. We're okay. Okay. Hey, Olympic gold medalist Shaun White joins us in studio right after the top of the hour. Ralph Berman is
Hello.
Hello. The Showbiz Beat now on K-Rock on a Friday.
Oh, that was your bad?
That was my bad.
The guy in control of turning on and off the microphones?
I'll take the blame for that one.
The fact that I was talking for half an hour and no one could hear me?
That's on me.
That was your fault.
Yeah.
As opposed to Lisa's.
I'll take responsibility.
Or mine.
I'm saying I'll step out and I'll take responsibility.
You're the guy with the button. Well, it was. Dial. You're so freaking busy whistling, you forgot to turn on microphones. That's what you're saying.
Yes. Good Technically, times. That's what happened.
Good times.
If you want to be technical about
well,
it.
Well, I'm happy because I got a minute left.
Sorry, we went a little long.
No, you guys are, as always, perfect stewards of the clock.
It wasn't our fault this time, though.
It's
Dave Grohl
you guys
is chatty.
Are the Blue Angels. You're just an amazing the degree
it's precision
of execution that you are able to the precision. It's a gift and a talent.
Thank you.
And it's a pleasure to watch and be a part of.
Thank you for noticing.
You're very welcome. Today's celebrity birthday is Michael McKean, legendary actor.
I've got time for a couple of stories.
One story.
Come on, let's not overdo it.
At least.
It's 9 o'clock.
All right.
That's the time I'm supposed to be done. I'll give you a story.
All right.
Right here. The story of this.
That's not a story. That's just your penis.
It's a short story.
It is a story. Now, this fascinates me. Sammy Hagar. You son of a bitch.
Sammy Hagar, yes.
Sucker punched me.
He did.
What a setup. Come see me and Kevin Smith at the Improv on Melrose tonight at 8 p.m. We're doing our live performance of our comic book Batman Meets the Green Hornet, issue number 5. And then at 10 o'clock, we're doing Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you come and join us.
Nope.
Where I have all the time in the world to do all sorts of hilarious comedy for
nope.
you,
.com.
The people I love, as opposed to Kevin and Bean. Who don't let me do anything.
Well, we're not good, if that's what you're saying.
That is what I'm saying, okay. Actually.
Then we agree.
You've capsulized my thoughts perfectly. Sammy Hagar, by the way.
Yeah.
Just bought himself a new car, a Ferrari LaFerrari.
That's really the name?
That's the name.
And they're sticking with it?
Ferrari's new car, the LaFerrari. Only 999 people will get to own one. Why couldn't they just make it 500? Why do they got to be dicks about it? Freaking Italians.
That seems like their whole thing. To me, that seems like it's all the exclusive stuff that they try and pull
off. They do like being exclusive.
Yeah.
But, you know, in their defense, it's a pretty high-end vehicle.
Like, I think you have to be okayed to buy one. I think.
What do they do? Give you a test for Ebola?
I don't know.
How do you be okayed?
Yeah, they give you an Ebola test.
Sure. 599 people will get this handmade Ferrari. You have to go to the factory in Modena, Italy.
Okay, F you. That's ridiculous.
So that they can custom fit the driver's seat to your ass.
Oh, well.
They got to take a mold, I guess, of your ass, and then they make the seat custom-made for your ass.
Sounds pretty comfortable.
God forbid you put on a couple pounds. You can't sit in your car anymore. Then they hand-make it. You pick the colors, and they make it by hand from the top to the bottom.
Sammy reportedly settled in a cream car with a brown interior. The car has 1,000 horsepower, 6.3-liter V12 engine. It will be delivered to his home before Christmas, they claim. He paid for this vehicle $1.4 million.
What? By the way, we forget how rich he is, not just from the Van Halen years of recording and touring, but that's he rich from? That Cabo Wabo thing.
He's got the tequila?
He's got the tequila, yes. The tequila is a huge hit around the world.
But the bars aren't, though, right?
I think the one in Mexico, you can...
The one in Cabo sucks.
Plenty of room there for you, right? The Cabo Wabo there?
It's huge and mostly and empty.
Yeah.
But he must have money somehow.
I think like Corolla with his Mangria. I just think that's if you get something to catch his fire, man, that's a ticket to riches right there.
Well, it's time for Kevin and Bean's Scissorp. Come on.
I mean, stop. After our experience with the gravy, I don't know that we'll ever get back into doing...
By now, the gravy could have fermented and become alcoholic. You could serve it as an alcoholic beverage.
You think that would help me?
Kevin and Beans.
It might help.
Kevin and Beans gravy booze.
I like it. It's very attractive booze. And appealing name.
I think so.
I think everyone's going to want to order some of that.
Yummy.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Eminem's 42. Chris Kirkpatrick of NSYNC is 43. Wyclef Jean, 45. Ziggy Marley is 46 years old today. Naomi Campbell. Nope.
You're as good as we are, Ralph.
Norm McDonald.
What? With Naomi Campbell.
I got tears in my eyes. I can't read. Norm McDonald is 51. Mike Judge is 52. George Wendt turned 66. And Michael McKean, legendary singer, songwriter, actor, comedian. He can do it all. He is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I know that Shaun White has won 23 X Games medals, plus a couple of Olympic golds. But when he walked in today in that suit, I thought, he's in trouble and he has to go to court. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Shaun White, the defendant, who joins us in studio here at the Kevin Hayes Show.
I'm in.
How are you, Shaun? Welcome back, sir.
It's a sports coat.
What a great goatee. That's strong.
Thank you. November's coming.
That's right, man.
And
dude,
winter.
You look like a grown-up, dude.
I'm feeling a little more distinguished.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Now, everybody was oohing and aahing by what you're carrying when you walked in today. This is the new GoPro?
Yeah, the Hero 4.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how they do that. How they get that kind of quality. Everything I know about photography is bigger camera, bigger lens, better photos.
Mm-hmm. This one's the opposite. It's smaller, and it's just more technical, which is great. I mean, you can snowboard with it. You can go swimming with it. There's, like, a waterproof case, and this one shoots 4K, so it's, like, 30 frames per second.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You more than most people, have most of the coolest things in your life on tape, which is amazing when you think about it. I mean, most of the greatest moments in your life, you can go back and watch them because they were being filmed. Either you were filming or somebody else was filming. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I realized at one point I was like, I had some wall space at the house. I was like, man, you know what? I have so many friends that just take photos all the time while we're on the road, you know, and I hit them up for, you know, scenics of New Zealand and, you know, wherever we're at in China and these things. But it's pretty interesting that it's always some sort of documentation.
Yeah.
This certainly is the first generation where that was sort of possible, really.
Yeah. And it's funny now, the new cameras, like, this is the camera that you're supposed to shoot yourself with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
that's true.
It's an interesting day and age.
Now, you were saying you need to put this on your dog. What's that about?
Oh, no, I was just laughing because I was describing, you know, surfing, there's a waterproof case, and you know, if you don't surf, there's a funny new mount for your dog. It's like a dog harness. And you could put the camera on the back of the dog to get his point of view of what's going on.
Well, that's what's been missing, Shaun, in the world, is your dog's point of view.
You got to have it.
It's basically just crotches, though, right? I mean, that's their angle.
There's a lot of
saying that's
sniffing.
What they see.
Yeah.
Well, Shaun, you always have so many things going on. You got your fingers in a lot of different careers. And one thing I think I know about you is you are a guy who compartmentalizes well. Like when it's time to skateboard, that's all you're doing. You're thinking about skateboarding. When it's time to snowboard, that's your thing. When it's time to worry about your band, that's what you do. What mode are you in today?
Interesting you ask. Today is today is a really, really big day for me. You know, there's a competition probably started 20 years ago in Austria called Aaron Style. And I was a competitor when I was like 14, 15. I won the event a couple times. And then I came back as a host of the event when it moved into Beijing in China. And, you know, after that, I became an owner of the event, and I plan of action was to bring it here to Los Angeles. So that's my big announcement today, is that we're going to do Aaron Style at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena come February, but tickets go on sale today. So
wow.
That's
exciting. Today?
Yeah, yeah. And we're doing a live stream at 10:30 from the bowl. You can go check it out at air-style.com.
So. Is that the same place to go to buy tickets, air-style.com?
Yes.
For those of us who missed it in Beijing, what is the Aaron Style event? Because I'm sorry, I wasn't at that one.
I thought I saw you.
Describe
there.
It for us. What happens?
No, it's great. It's kind of like a Coachella Music Festival meets X Games in a way. It's sports and music, and it's really like a gathering of youth culture. So you have fashion, you have art, technology. I mean, GoPro cameras, these things. You know how to use this. This technology and fashion, all that colliding at one event. And what's great is it's not just stuck inside the Rose Bowl. It's like the whole front lawn. So you can walk around. There's multiple stages, multiple bands going.
Will the swap meet be going on at the same time?
I wish. No, that's what's funny is I remember, like, we're like, where can we do this event? I really wanted to do it in L.A. because obviously I'm from here. And, you know, we're looking around. They're like, what about the Rose Bowl? It's like, the flea market? Well, you know, not the football games or anything. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah. Some good antiques.
It's February 21st. And February 22nd at the Rose Bowl. So mm-hmm. in the announcement that you're making in a few minutes later today, you're going to be unveiling some of the details on who's going to be participating, what kind of music, what kind of events, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'm going to get some more details going a little later. Actually, Stryker's going to be there.
Oh, fantastic.
MCing.
No,
so thanks for the support, guys.
Yeah, of course.
We'll take the credit, even though Stryker's the one doing it.
No.
You're welcome.
The K-Rock umbrella.
Now, are you just going to be walking around as a big man on campus owner guy, or are you going to be participating in some of the events as well?
Oh, man, I'll probably just be having fun participating rather than competing. I don't know. I was in this funny scenario where I was like, okay, well, I could win my own event, and that would be a little weird. And then I was like, man, well, what if I lose my own event? That's probably worse. I'll probably just be hanging out and be just kind of the one that curated it. And it's tough, too, to be like doing the interviews and promotions, all these things, and then still finding time to practice.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah.
I mean, you talked about, you know, piecing
compartmentalizing,
everything.
Yeah,
I cannot pronounce that this morning, but.
That's right. I can't say entrepreneur, which is what you are, and I didn't introduce you that way on purpose.
So I'll be kind of like switching gears at that point. But it's fun. I mean, that was my role in China, was like kind of describing the sport to people. You know, China's a huge market, and it's a brand new market for the sport of snowboarding. So
you were like interpreting it for them, basically?
Just kind of using life stories to describe what the sport's about, because if you give it in a video into the wrong hands, they're like, it's Daredevil. You should, you know, your kids, hide your kids, hide your wives, you know? So I was there like, look, my parents snowboards, you know, my dad's, you know, 65. He loves to snowboard. My mom, you know, it's a family thing that brought us closer together.
Did you tell your mom and dad they're doing it wrong? You correct them ever?
Dad, seriously, what are you doing?
What I used to do, he's a little older now, but I used to send him off the jump first.
Is that right?
It was like
to see the danger of it?
Yeah. And I'm like, did he make it? Because if he made it, then we were good. But there were those times where like, okay, he hasn't come up yet.
I like it. Use your dad as a guinea pig. That's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, Sean's too valuable to risk the risk of that kind of a jump. All right, we have to take a break. We're giving you a lot of information here and more to come. We're talking about Air and Style at the Rose Bowl, Saturday and Sunday, February 21st and 22nd. You can go to air-style.com. Tickets go on sale today. At what time for this event, Sean? What time do they go on sale? 10? Noon?
I'm trying to look.
We'll
at
find
my
out.
Associates.
We'll find out.
Yes,
we'll find
yes,
out.
That is. It
come
is
back
correct.
And talk. Yeah. Talk more with our guest Sean White
right
when we
now,
return right
now.
After this on K-Rock. Snowboarder, skateboarder, musician, entrepreneur.
Close enough.
I said it. Sean White in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the Air and Style event in Beijing in December, Innsbruck, Austria in January, and then at the Rose Bowl, February 21st and 22nd. This is new news. If you haven't heard about this yet, tickets are on sale now for this event. Go to air-style.com for details. Sean, was it painful for you when they pulled the X Games from Los Angeles?
Yeah, I mean, that was tough. I was definitely a big fan of the event. I always attended and competed. You know, it's interesting. There's definitely like that void right now. There's those sport goers that don't really have you know, place to get that action. And obviously, there's a huge music following in Los Angeles.
I think so. I was at Staples Center when you were like five, and there were Shaun White for president stickers all over
the
place.
Yes, I never made the ballot, but
well, there's still time. You're young.
So is this? I mean, is that part of why Los Angeles made so much sense to you? Is you know that there are a lot of people who are starved for kind of action sports, and there's not that much to see.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's definitely a situation where I mean. Those sports are so deeply rooted in the culture here. It makes so much sense. I mean, I'm born and raised in California, and
right.
You know, I live here. Most of the people, actually, it was just interesting, in the snow and sport community live here. They don't live in the mountains. They live here. And the best part about the event is there's this ramp.
You were telling us
big
about
air
this.
Jump.
This sounds dangerous as hell.
Yeah. So there's a big air jump that we're building out of scaffolding and man-made snow. And it's 16 stories tall, so and we're putting it out on the front lawn of the bowl, so it's just massive, and that's where we'll be competing. We'll have a snowboard event. I'm thinking Saturday. I don't want to get into too details, but skiing and snowboarding contest on the 2 days.
And you
event.
Said the ramp is as tall as the Rose Bowl.
I think it might be a little taller.
Oh my God,
that's insane.
So, hey,
you might as well build them high if you don't have to jump them.
Yeah, right. I'm like, hey, I'm going.
Somebody else's problem.
Get up there.
Let's
and
go higher.
Make Dad proud. Yeah,
Sean, since you're the big cheese on this event, now you said you're an
on,
owner.
Dude. Hold
of,
on. Hold on.
Yes. What?
Would you consider yourself the big cheese?
The cheese, not big.
The
though.
Cheese.
The cheese. Okay.
Then
you have to deal with so many things that it used to be somebody else's problem. When you're the owner and the guy who's the presenter of an event, all of a sudden, porta potties become a thing that you've got to think about, right?
No, for sure.
My question to you is, what's involved in getting the amount of snow that you need to the Rose Bowl?
Well, yeah, that's been it's been an undertaking, especially since there's been a drought. You know, we've been not only like working on ways to get the snow, but then conserve the snow, because that's such an important thing. I don't want to be wasteful and all. So yeah. It's really great. We've actually come up with some amazing ideas, which we'll get into later at the full on press conference. But
have you been watching the weather? Going, how is it still 90?
No. So I'm sitting at home and like we're getting the rights to do it at the.
Rose Bowl.
At the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, and I'm looking on the news, and there's a main break, and all this water is just shooting out of the ground. Yeah. I'm like, I gotta get a bucket and go down there.
Give me. I gotta save my place.
Oh God, I'm gonna get down there in my rain boots and.
Now we talked about we talked about some of the sporting events that are going on. You also mentioned fashion, and I know that you know, you like to dress up. You're pretty like that. art, cuisine. Let's talk about the music aspect of it, because this is something that's near and dear to your heart. Now, will your band be performing among others there?
You know, we were thinking about it. Yeah, Bad Things. You know, we're a local band in L.A., and I figured that would be okay. It'd be like, but appropriate time slot. We're definitely not headlining or you know, doing that whole thing. But I'm excited to be there with the band. So we'll probably play.
Do you sort of have that feeling like I don't want to upstage everybody because I'm the boss sort of thing?
I just didn't want to force myself upon people. I'm not trying to like have my album like uploaded into your phone when you download the software.
Whatever could he be referring to?
I don't understand.
Hypothetically. So you know what I mean? But it's one of those things where it is a celebration of all of these things together. So it would make sense that my band would be playing there, that I would be snowboarding. There's a whole skateboarding area. There's a whole family area.
Wow. How much of it is great. Inside the Rose Bowl and how much of it is outside and around?
It's really 50-50. I would say more of 70-30, I guess. I mean, the Rose Bowl is going to be mostly closed. There'll be like a big show at the end in there, but for the majority of the time it'll take place outside, because that's where you can have these large ramps and viewing for everything.
Do you use a bunch of the golf course area right next to the Rose Bowl?
It's more in front. Yeah, okay. That'll be more parking in these things. But it's so fun. I mean, there was somebody today we were talking with, and he's like, "Oh, well, I'd love to be there, but it's, you know, not really my demographic." You know, as an older gentleman, I was like, "No, it's actually just right up your alley because it's, you know, it's a kid-friendly thing. And that's what's so great about X Games and how I got my start in the sport is it's a family thing as well. So we have this amazing area where you can, like, bring your kids and actually snowboard and snow and mess around.
Oh, that's cool.
Can you put them on the big ramp if you want?
I will
first talk to
somebody. Yeah.
Go! They got to be two.
Make
at least,
me proud!
No pressure. But, you know, the area, I don't know if it's even seen snow, so... A lot of people in Los Angeles and in that area are going to be pretty amazed by this. And it's kind of the whole, you know, introduce them to the sport and then later show them what's possible in the sport.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
And our remaining moments here with Sean White here on the Kevin Amin Show. And again, it's air-style.com. Tickets are on sale now for this event, February at the Rose Bowl. How about your competitive days ahead? What's left for you, Sean? I'm sure you get asked that a lot, but I haven't heard any plans of you participating in any kind of
sporting
event.
You have done everything.
Well, yeah. People have been panicking because the band, you know, we were on tour with Fanagram through the East Coast and the South, and then we flew to Europe
this
and
summer,
toured
right?
With 30 Seconds to Mars. And so all my posts online have been, like, about music, so everybody was questioning it. But, no, I'm definitely competing. I'm hoping to put that all to rest this next winter. Yeah, I'm, like, gearing up. But, no, I love to compete. I love to snowboard and skateboard and these things. So it's been the, like, I don't know, main thing that's kept me going all these years, the one focus that I'm you know, good at. It's putting these things together. Where do the bathrooms go? It's tough. It's really hard to, like, book acts and get all this together. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get back to snowboarding.
Can't possibly enjoy that more. I guess it's just different.
Well, it's just funny because I leave these meetings. I'm like, gosh, I wish I could just...
Right.
What happened to the days of just doing backflips?
Just strapping and drinking Mountain Dew.
Yeah, whatever. Getting loco on the, you know. So no, I'm very excited that the season's gearing up. And,
well, this is what happens, man, when you get a haircut and put on a big boy suit. All of a sudden, people start treating you like a grown-up, you know?
I know. Well, I donated the hair, so that was cool. Lots
okay, well, good. But, good for you. Well, we're very excited by this event. Everything you have said just makes us want to hear more about it. So I guess we'll just stay tuned to the announcement today and stay tuned to the website and get some of the details and buy our tickets. It's going to be awesome. Maybe maybe when we get to, you know, next February or something, come on back in. We'll have a lot more things confirmed. We can talk about it some more.
Right on. Thank you, guys.
Great to see you, Sean. Appreciate the time, sir.
Cheers.
Oh, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
What are they saying there?
Supermassive Black Hole.
Rather a bag of bones.
It's Supermassive Black Hole.
Why the...
It's the name of the song. Supermassive. Hey, Ralph Garman is...
Why do you make us work so hard to hear your lyrics? Just tell us what you're singing about.
It's an artistic
please.
Choice, Ralph.
I got their choice right here.
It's the,
again, that's
song
not a
title.
Choice.
That's not a choice. Right, that is not a choice.
That feels good. Let's take a look at the showbiz news before we head home for the weekend, shall we? Everybody ready for Ebola the TV show? That sounds like fun, right? Good times, huh?
Yeah. But hasn't that been on every day for 2 weeks?
No, this would be a fictional series. A new limited TV miniseries based on the 1992 novel The Hot Zone by Richard Preston.
Oh, that was a huge, huge hit at the time.
It was, Bean. It was a book about a guy who gets a viral disease while visiting a cave in Kenya, and he's treated at a hospital in Nairobi, where everyone who comes in contact with him also gets the disease, and it becomes a horrifying viral outbreak in Africa. Good times. Sign me up.
Is it possible this author made this all happen?
Yes. Okay. Richard Preston got some Ebola and started slathering it around on people.
To sell his book from 20 years ago.
22 years ago.
That's my guess. The president named an Ebola czar this morning. Did you guys see that? There's now somebody whose government job is to work on this Ebola thing.
Look.
Dumb.
Why is that dumb? Why not be careful?
They're being careful. They're being plenty careful.
So now we got a guy whose job it is to be carefuler. Carefuler.
Carefuler?
More carefuler.
I just believe the opposite of whatever Dr. Drew is saying on TV. That's why I'm convinced this is going to be bad.
Sure. But then, do you have to believe what
Shepard Smith?
Scott Speedman says? What's his name? Reed Richards? Who's that guy over there at Fox?
Shepard Smith.
Yeah. Then you got to believe him.
I don't believe him.
Oh, okay. He's on Dr. Drew's
but
side.
But he is saying the same thing as Dr. Drew, so okay. Bean is consistent. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay.
He's ignoring them both.
Ridley Scott apparently will be one of the people behind this new TV series. So, big ratings. I'm sure everyone would tune in to watch people die from Ebola. What the heck? This has nothing to do with show business, but I'm fascinated by it.
All right.
Guy in China has invented the air umbrella. Have you seen the air umbrella?
Yes, I have.
No.
The air umbrella.
Of course, beanhouse.
Pizza first! First!
Well, it has air that forces the raindrops away from you. I think that's brilliant.
It's fascinating. You hold it like a cane over your head, and it's got a giant, not a giant, it's got a very powerful sort of fan on top, and it blows the airflow out sideways, so when the rain's coming down, the airflow, like a strong wind, will take the raindrops away from you, and it creates about a 3-foot zone over your head that rain can't get through.
And that's better than
a regular
umbrella? Is that the word you're looking for, Kevin?
I mean, it's better than an umbrella.
Well, it doesn't obscure your vision at all.
Oh, yeah.
There's no trying to peek around it or having to, you know.
I feel like we don't need that.
Out from under it?
I feel like us getting rained on, maybe it's just because we live in Los Angeles, it's not a big issue.
It's the air umbrella.
All right.
Look how happy she is.
She's very
using
happy.
The air umbrella.
She is
very happy.
I think
she's using the air umbrella for something else.
Yeah.
When the rain got up. But I think it's a fascinating invention. I've been looking at it this morning, and I've been very taken by it.
And I'll say this, Kevin.
It looks
Kevin.
Like a vibrator. Let's
it
be honest.
It does look
though.
Like a Hitachi wand. For
really?
Sure, yeah.
I'll say this,
but
Kevin.
But it blows the water away from you.
Yes, Pete.
Doesn't it wouldn't this be better? Picture, and again, you're not in a lot of rainy situations, but picture everybody trying to get in and out of doors and things like that, and umbrellas running into each other. It kind of eliminates
all of that. Walking down
the
street in New York when it's raining and everyone's just snagging their umbrellas
yeah,
on
I
each
guess
other.
So. Yeah.
I mean, it's the future, Kevin.
Right.
What are you afraid of?
All right, fine.
Why are you afraid of air?
That's a terrible idea.
What do you have? Who do you own stock in a nylon company?
I don't.
What do you make ribs?
I don't. I just.
That's what the metal parts of the umbrella are called.
I call them the arms.
You call them the arms?
The same, right?
All right. That's nothing to do with Chubbies. I don't know why I got on that tangent. I just been looking at it on the internet this morning, and I was stunned and fascinated. Medical examiner says Joan Rivers died from a predictable complication.
Oh, no.
From the surgery that was being performed on her.
Predictable sounds like there was a problem there.
No, they're saying this is a common
oh, okay.
risk that she was undertaking, simply a risk associated with the anesthesia and the procedure. And that, at least for now, there's no finding of malpractice, at least
okay.
by what happened to her.
My vagina is so dry.
I don't think it has anything to do with it, Joan. She was sedated with propofol during the procedure.
Well, nothing bad ever happens with propofol.
That's right. And her throat seized up because of the procedure was going in combination with the anesthesia. So apparently a predictable complication is what they called it.
If she had an air umbrella, she'd still be alive today.
That's right. You could just put that down her throat instead. Open things right up. And now we know who Khloe Kardashian's real father is. For a long time, it was a silly story about O.J. Simpson being her dad. But now we know it's really Lionel Richie.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Radar Online says that Kris Jenner enjoyed a very hot public affair with the singer back in the 80s while she was still married to the late Robert Kardashian. Word is Lionel was also openly bragging about their sexual dalliances, and people can't help but notice that Khloe looks a lot like Lionel's daughter, Sophia. Well, then maybe Sophia is the father of Khloe Kardashian
could be.
If they look so much alike.
That could be. I didn't think of that.
So now we know. It wasn't OJ at all. It was Lionel Richie.
But do we know that, or that's just another rumor?
It's completely a rumor, but I'm stating it as fact.
Okay.
Kris Jenner would just go over to Lionel Richie's house, and he'd open the door and say, hello. Is it me you're looking for? He would say that to her. I think we just welcome her.
You are. Someone needs to punch you.
Does it say whether he stuck around all night long or if he just hit it and quit it?
We're not doing this, are we?
I guess what I'm asking is, was it an endless love or was it just, you know, once in a while? Hello? Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Sure take the fun out of things.
Bean was so happy to play.
Sure was.
But Ralph was out at that
No one
point.
Will play with you.
I finally ran out onto the field and the game just got
right.
called.
Today's celebrity birthday is Michael McKean. You know him from Laverne and Shirley and Spinal Tap and The Mighty Wind and all the Chris Guest movies. Besides his own film, Smallville, Clue. Been just a super talented working actor forever. 67 years old today. George Wendt from Cheers is 66. Mike Judge is 52. Norm MacDonald celebrates his 51st birthday. Ziggy Marley is 46. Wyclef Jean is 45. Chris Kirkpatrick of NSYNC fame is 43. And Eminem celebrates his 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We should do this.
Let's do that.
That sounds pretty good. Monday morning, we have Travis Barker on the program and Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL, plus comedian Gabriel Iglesias.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Where are your nipples, man?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, weird energy in here.
Roll another one.
Can I say this? It sucks.
Just like the other one.
Wait, where are you getting this from?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Represent.
I need another hit.
Screw you, Bean. Screw you. Screw you. Screw you. Screw you. Screw you. Screw you.
Some babes, man.
Just like the other one.
Sure, I like that. Yeah, why not?
This one seems to be about sex.
I'm bored.
I don't have another cent.
Thank you for the coffee. Let's not do this again.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
Just pass it around.
What is it, son? What is it you wish to say?
Born to be bad.
I just pass it on down.
Well, that's it. This is the moment when it really sinks in that we're done and that we did it.
Goodbye.
Are you leaving already?
Yes.
May I ask why?
Because I'm thirsty.
Discharge paperwork is in the folder. I'll need your signature on all pages, and you can drop it at the front desk on your way out. Best of luck with your recovery. We're going to need your room vacant within the hour.
See you next week.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.